Jam! Hello again, and welcome to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic. This is M&M 540 here on the MTGcast Network. 540!
I live near that.
That is not a small number. Do you?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
It's a highway.
Oh. There you go, everyone. Go to Bill's place.
You now have a 26-mile stretch to explore on the side that you don't have to pay extra to drive on. Enjoy.
It's also an area code in Virginia.
Oh, it is.
Don't go to that one.
Yeah, don't go to that one. Wait, is 540 closer to Danville or further away from Danville than Highway 540?
It's closer to, I believe, yes.
Oh, yeah, then definitely don't.
But it is not it is not the area code for Danville.
Oh, okay. For those just joining us, Clues is not a fan of Danville.
Nope, certainly not.
Is that like area code 666 for you, Clues? Like, oh, I wonder if someone has that. Where is that?
It's terrible.
Oh, this could be amazing.
So, while he looks that up.
In Louisiana, I should have known.
Of course.
Wait, is it really?
Yes.
No, it can't be.
I mean, it's not anymore, but it was until like the 60s. They retired it.
Lame.
That's great.
Anyway, so hi, I'm Chewy.
Hi, Chewy.
Hey, Chewy.
I am joined by Clues and Squee.
Yep. I have returned in 3D.
He is in 3D, folks.
Yeah, he sent us a lenticular picture earlier. It was pretty awesome.
If you were wearing glasses, the ping pong ball is almost hitting you in the face.
Whoa!
Unless you have the glasses on backwards and then the ping pong ball is really far away.
Well, no, that's when it's your eyes are flying out at it like a cartoon. Terrifying. Don't do that. It's dangerous. That's why it's not for children. Hey, I'm back.
Yeah,
I like how I take a week off and you guys actually get an episode out in under an hour. And now that I'm back, it's taken over an hour to start recording.
Yes, it has.
It is actually completely your fault, too.
Sure. I'll buy that. For a dollar. But yeah, I have returned. So hi, everybody.
Yay. So I would like to get something out of the way before we actually start. A bit what's the word I'm looking for here? A bit of self-promotion. I'm very sorry, but I'm very excited about it. I just, a few days ago, started streaming.
Woo!
I don't stream Magic. I don't have any way to stream Magic. Don't ask. But I have streamed since I started streaming. I've only done a few streams now, but I've streamed Hearthstone, Rocket League, and Guild of Dungeoneering, complete with people from chat being my Dungeoneers. So, and that's just like four streams in. So that's pretty awesome.
Sounds awesome.
Hey, Chewy, can you stream Magic?
I hate you. Now, let me explain why I can't stream Magic. Okay, because people don't understand this. So I don't buy Magic because I'm broke, okay? Like, I'm living so close to poverty that you don't understand.
All right, hold on. Stream broke. Okay, go on.
Okay, I can't play Magic Online because same reason. Magic Online actually costs real money. And I don't have that. So I'm not going to play Magic Online. Actually, and I will never play Magic Online, even if I had money. I just, it's not a thing I'm interested in ever.
Okay, MTGO broke. Got it.
And Magic Duels is awesome for story mode, but outside of that, no. And any other ways that you can play Magic digitally aren't sanctioned or legal, so I'm not gonna do that.
Ah, okay, right.
I've had several people ask me about, what's it called, untap.something, I forget, and no. I'm not gonna do that either. So there you go. Now, if there's ever a time when, like, I can stream live Magic, like with Mike, like for the longest time I've wanted to play like the duel decks, for an audience, then totally, maybe that, if we can ever get it set up properly. But outside of that, no, I will not be playing any sort of digital Magic on stream. Just to get that out of the way, because I've already been asked many, many, many times.
Oh, a follow-up question. Can you stream Magic?
I hate you.
Okay.
But it's going to be sort of like my YouTube channel, where I will be just playing fun stuff. Whatever comes to mind, like I said, I've already played Rocket League and Guild of Dungeoneering and Hearthstone, so should be pretty cool. By all means, come check it out. It's twitch.tv/themanapool. Give me a follow. It'll be awesome. I've also taken to announcing when I stream on the social media things, because apparently that's how you do it when you're new at streaming.
People need to be aware of when you're streaming.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get like an actual schedule set up at some point, but until then it'll be whenever I get the urge, I will give a few hours notice. Yay! Just don't take that out of context, or do, whichever.
Did you just Muttley laugh at that?
Too late. Totally Muttley'd at it, yeah. Oh.
That was a Muttley. That's amazing.
I was trying to stifle it, but I'm sorry.
Muttley wouldn't try.
Muttley would not try, no. Anyway, so, moving on. Lots of standard happened this weekend. So last week we had Legacy, the week before that was Modern, so it's time for Standard to come back. And look, Standard has been gone from the forefront for so long that people actually built new decks.
Weird.
Oh, it's so glorious.
Oh, so man.
To recap, we can't just make noises?
Well, to recap, there were two decks that ruled the meta. There was which was Black-Green Delirium, and there was which was Blue-White Flash. For those who are just joining us, we came up with sound effects because we got sick of saying Blue-White Flash, Blue-White Flash, Blue-White Flash, Black-Green
Delirium. You know, you just really confused them by referring to that as Black-Green Delirium, right?
It was Black-Green Delirium.
Oh,
no, I'm sorry. It was, I'm so sorry. Look, it's been 2 weeks. Yeah. It's been 2 weeks. I don't freaking know. So yeah, okay, sorry. It was, was Black-Green Delirium. My bust. I'm so sorry. There were a couple other decks that were like second tier decks, like which is the Mardu Vehicles or any sort of vehicles deck, Road Rage. And then there was Blains, which was the Black-Red Zombies deck. Was that it?
That was the bulk of it, yeah.
I think it was just those four for the most part. But now we have all new decks, so we're gonna table the sound effects for now until Standard becomes stale again, in which case we'll make up sound effects for those.
Yeah, the decks that show up sufficiently frequently that we get tired of saying them out loud will have earned their sound effects and our exactly. hatred.
So let us begin with, what's the first one I have open here? GP Denver.
The Last Dinosaur.
Yes, GP Last Dinosaur. add that to the potential show titles, would you please, Clue?
I will, but I just wanted to make you aware, because I don't know if either of you knew this, but do you know when the film Flash Gordon was released?
It was in the 80s?
Was it what, 82?
December 5th, 1980.
Whoa! Oh,
whoa. Wow, I should have expected that.
Yep. There you go.
Oh, man.
In so case you're unaware, we're recording this on December 5th, 2016.
So it just turned 36?
Yeah.
Yeah, same
so
to me.
So it could run for president.
Oh, God, I'm older than Flash Gordon? That sucks. Well, I'm older than that particular Flash Gordon.
Savior of the universe.
I mean, he will save every one of us.
Just a man, though.
With a man's courage. Anyway, moving on. So, GP Last Dinosaur was won by, you know what? I even went to coverage and listened to them say his name, but that was like an hour and a half ago now. So I can't remember if it was Matt Severa or Matt Severa. I think it was Severa. I'm pretty sure it's Matt Severa.
I would guess that.
Someone will tell me if I'm wrong.
That is also true.
And he is playing the Mardu Vehicles deck or Mardu Road Rage. This is the version that's got Cultivator's Caravan because it's the right version.
There you have it then.
You know, it sounded like you said Cult of Raiders Caravan.
Yeah, yeah, the Cult of Raiders Caravan, right? That's in Aether Revolt. It'll be
okay.
Yeah. Spoilers, well, by the way.
Is that our preview card?
Yeah, that's our preview card.
It sounds like one.
Oh, I couldn't even get through the sentence. I'm sorry.
So yeah, now because we have like 15 tournaments to talk about, we're not going to go real in depth, but this deck doesn't need it anyway. So that's fine. The deck lists were not in order for one of these. I think it was the bottom four here. No, these are in order. Okay, it was the other GP.
Yeah, they just randomly left their top eight placement numbers and for some of them and not others.
Yeah. So, okay. Second place was Steve Rubin, who was playing the Teamer Aetherworks deck, which is next in line for a sound effect, I think, at least maybe in another couple weeks.
If it earns
it's also
it.
Also on Rye.
Aetherworks on Rye?
No, this was a Ruben joke, but you went by it too fast, okay. So never mind.
Yeah. I'm sure Ruben has never heard those jokes.
I'm sure he hasn't, but he doesn't listen to the show either, so it's fine.
Oh, okay.
I mean, at this point, no one does, so it's fine.
That's exactly. You don't. Do you post these?
Sometimes.
Wait, anyway, you do? So all right. Well, no, that wasn't my PIN number.
It wasn't your personal PIN number?
No. So it wasn't my personal PIN number to the ATM machine.
Anyway, so the Temur Aetherworks deck works on Aetherworks Marvel, which is that artifact, a legendary artifact for 4 that says whenever a permanent you control is put into a graveyard, you get an energy counter. And it says tap, pay 6 energy. Look at the top 6 cards of your library. You may cast a card from among them without paying its mana cost, and the rest go on the bottom in a random order.
That seems fair.
I mean, come on. 6 right? cards can only fit so much broken in. It's That's not like there's right. giant stuff in Standard to exploit that
What are
with.
The chances that they'll hit their Emrakul or their Ulamog?
Well, it looks like it's 4 and 60 to start out with.
That's not so bad.
But let's see. So this is a 4 drop, and you need some energy. You drew 7, and it's an 11. We'll call it 4 out of...
That sounds scientifically accurate.
4 out of what, 45, let's say?
It's pretty up there.
Yeah, like a 1 in 11 chance, roughly, to hit it. Seems good. Of course, they've also got things to go with it. So we've
Wait,
got...
are you saying that they're affecting their deck?
Right? It's so weird. So we've got Vessel of Nascency in this deck to, well, dig stuff out, of course. You've got your Servant of the Conduit for ramp and energy. You've got Whirler Whirler Virtuoso. That's hard to say. Say it, you guys.
Virtuosity. Ah.
Didn't that have Denzel in it?
It did.
Didn't that have, guy from Gladiator before he was popular?
Yeah, he had glass.
What was his name? No, really, what's that actor's name? I can see him.
Russell Crowe?
Russell Crowe, there we go, yeah.
I'm like, was there another guy from Gladiator that I'm forgetting?
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix, but no one really cares about him.
I didn't forget.
Anyway, the Whirler Virtuoso, since Clues doesn't want to play, for energy and Thopters. Ishkana, because playing green. Attune with Aether for energy and, well, go get a land. Tormenting Voice for card draw. Harness Lightning for energy and burn. Woodweaver's Puzzle Knot for energy and life gain. And there you go. Oh, and Chandra, Torch of Defiance, because... Actually, good. Probably because ramp and awesome.
Probably because good.
Yeah.
If your first Marvel misses, well, you're still putting on pressure.
I'm a bit surprised that there isn't more token creation in this deck.
Is that sarcasm?
No.
Okay.
I'm being serious, because your tokens will trigger your energy counters for Aetherworks Marvel, and we've got Whirler Virtuoso and Ishkana. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. Do we have any other token generators here?
No.
Okay.
Well, you've got the Puzzle Knots. You can sacrifice them, so that gives you 4 energy when you sacrifice it.
Okay. Yeah.
So there is that. Because what does the Marvel say? A permanent you control. Right. Yeah.
All I'm pointing out is the tokens count for that.
Yes. Oh, there's also 3 Evolving Wilds, so that helps. Oh, there's Aether Hunt too, of course. So yeah, all kinds of good stuff. The whole idea is to just get a bunch of energy and then cheat out your Ulamog or Emrakul and then win, right?
And that's certainly one path to victory.
Yeah, the other ones involve probably Thopters, probably...
A fleet of Thopters.
Yeah.
Because if your Thopter dying gets you an energy back, then that works pretty great.
That is a good point.
And, I mean, it doesn't say non-token creature dying, so... Yeah. When it's only 2 energy per Thopter, you know, in net, that's not bad.
So let us move on.
Yep.
Deck is cool. Third place, we've got Jacob Nagro playing White-Blue Flash. I knew one of you would do that, so I didn't bother.
That's fair.
This looks mostly normal.
It's so weird to, and I know the deck has been like this forever, but to just look at the land section and it be like mostly basics and then like the 2 obvious duels. And it's like, man, it's been so long since I've just gotten used to seeing that. In Standard.
Looking at mana counts that go 4, 4, 10, 7. You're like, what?
And none of them are like weird ability lands or anything. It's just like, and this is how we make our colors.
How many years ago are we in here? Is this like 6-7 years ago now? Nope. We just don't have near perfect mana anymore. Thank goodness.
And the deck has enough going on that it doesn't need weird gimmicky lands.
Exactly. How about that revolutionary rebuff? Huh?
It's revolutionary.
Fancy.
Neat. So in fourth place, we've got Andrew Wolbers playing Blue-Red Zombie Emerge. And I read that, and my brain said, yeah, Black-Red Zombies. Wait. No, Blue-Black-Zombies. What? I say again, what? So this is Fevered Visions with Plenty of Madness, Lightning Axe, Fiery Temper. Well, Kozilek's Return doesn't have Madness itself, but you want it in the graveyard. Tormenting Voice and Cathartic Reunion. And then you've got your Emerge with Elder Deep Fiend and Wretched Griff. And then you've got your Zombies in Prized Amalgam, Stitchwing Scab, and the Advanced Stitchwing, which lets you either, well, the Amalgam, of course, just jumps back from your graveyard, but the Stitchwing Scab and the Advanced Stitchwing, you can discard two cards to get them back to the battlefield.
Which is nice, because you don't actually have a way of casting your Prized Amalgam.
Yeah. Oh, you don't? There's no black mana at all?
I didn't see any black mana at all.
Huh, neat. Well, of course, the Amalgam, you don't really ever need to
cast. Yeah, like, you're never going to, but you do need a way to get it in the yard if it's in your hand, since you can't cast it. So
that is very true.
Between that and, like, you know, your Tormenting Voice and all that, it's not that hard to do. Like, you've got the Cathartic Reunion, the Tormenting Voice, you've got the ability to just chuck it for the Stitch Wing. There's plenty of stuff to load your graveyard here.
Yeah.
Don't even have to care. I don't know, it's kind of neat in its simplicity. It's like, what does this deck do? Well, it hits you with cool stuff. Okay, then what? Well, then when you deal with it, it hits you with more cool stuff. Oh. What if I'm holding out for a little while? Well, then it just burns you. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. But I did all this cool fancy stuff on my... No. Doesn't want your cars.
Yes, we have 3-power flying zombies. We could give a damn.
Now, admittedly, if you were looking over a list of movies that are coming out in, like, the upcoming Halloween season some year, and you just saw a movie called 3-Power Flying Zombies, you'd watch it.
Yeah,
I would. You'd hear for, like, the reviews, and after The Onion gives it, like, a B-, you'd be like, cool. And then you turn into Sci-Fi Channel, and you'd watch it, and you'd be like, that's about what I expected.
Yeah, yeah.
That said, terrifying.
Anyway, so moving on, let's go to fifth play. Wait. Right, these were in order. No, they weren't. Okay. So next is Rob Pisano. What is he playing? Rob Pisano is playing Flash. The numbers are a little tweaked, but it is essentially the same deck. There is a Westvale Abbey, which is pretty funny.
Chilling.
Anytime you just drop a Westvale Abbey in a deck, it makes me go... let's see here. Ben Hull is playing Red-White Aggro. So this is Boros, but it's not Boros cars, because the only car is the Smuggler's Copter.
Which is okay, in most decks.
Why aren't we calling this Boros Aggro?
I don't know.
If you're going to make me use Teemer and Mardu WotC coverage, you can at least go ahead and name Boros.
And the argument that, well, like the cons was in standard doesn't apply anymore.
Nope. Not only that, but I suppose you can make the argument, oh, well, with two colors, we just give the two colors. But with three colors, we give the longer name that's harder to remember. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. Now that they're out of standard, that is a very valid question. If anyone understands that.
The only ones that they gave that to on this list were the three-color ones, because they had Mardu and Teemer, but the rest of them are just two-color.
Yeah, which tells us exactly what's in the deck. Look at that. It's a red-white aggro deck, which, okay, that's redundant, but still, it's a red-white aggro deck.
Although, to be fair, I never thought of calling it Azorius Flash. Not ever. Or
I don't think Azorius is that great of a guild name.
But yeah, Boros Aggro just feels right.
Doesn't it, though? It always feels right.
I think Boros has got one of the best names that you can throw around, because... Honestly, Boros actually just sounds like, you know, a charging boar or something. Like, it works. It's very well named. You don't need that much of an explanation beyond, oh, it's these colors. Cool. Okay. Whereas when you have, like, all these abbreviations that use the letter U because new players don't understand that U means blue sometimes. because I mean, why would you until someone explains it? Not really much better. Someone's getting explained either way. But yeah, so we have Boros aggro, ignoring that nonsense. And Boros aggro is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's, agreed. It's a little weird though. It's running the veteran motorist. I mean, he's still a really good aggro card by himself as a 3-1 for 2 that scries 2 when he shows up.
Yeah, seems decent.
Yeah, and we've got Dipala, who pumps...
Dwarves.
Oh, pumps Veteran Motorist and Toolcraft Exemplar. And yep. Okay, so at least that makes sense. She also pumps your Smuggler's Copters. But, like, these decks used to run... Oh, there's a Sky Sovereign in the board.
Yeah.
But they used to run the driverless car, the Google car. What,
The Fleet Wheel?
Yes. I guess maybe they just realized that maybe every color doesn't need a Skizix.
I mean, that's a slow realization, but, I don't know.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, either I think way. When you get to, you know, rock that 4/4 Smuggler's Copter, life's pretty awesome. And you know, when it can become like a 5/5 based on how you're tapping stuff, things are even better. They may not need more than that.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Like once you're at 5/5, which would presumably be doable with a veteran motorist curving out into an exemplar, or whatever order you need to cast them in so that you can start attacking with a smuggler's copter, a 5/5 and a 6/6 are going to finish the game on the same turn. So, you know, whatever, the 3/3 evasion is all you want. Like you got plenty of stuff to attack on the ground.
Well, that's a good point. All right then. So who is next is Michael Snyder. Deck lists out of order. He is playing a red-green version of the Aetherworks. He dropped the blue, so clearly this is the superior version, right, Clue?
Good for him.
Wait, what was blue? Oh, the Virtuoso is really...
Yeah, the Virtuoso's cut.
Is really it. So what did he... Where'd I go? Here we go. Red-green Aetherworks. Michael Snyder, there it is. Found it. We're good. So what did he put in for it? Wow, he's running 5 of the big guys. 4 Imrakul and 1 Ulamog, as opposed to 2 and 2. Looks like he just upped the numbers on everything.
I think... Did the other one have Kozluk's Return in it?
Oh, did it?
I don't remember seeing it.
No.
It did not. That was the Zombie Emerge deck.
I think that'd be the big difference there.
Yep. Nice. There you go. Same basic idea, just took out, I guess, the tokens in favor of some board clears and tweaking some numbers.
And getting more Imrakul.
I mean, more Imrakul is always good, question mark?
depends on what plane you are.
That's true, yeah.
A lot of planes have done well without Imrakul. A lot of planes have been completely destroyed without Imrakul. What we're saying is don't live on planes, they're fragile.
It's true. So then going to 8th place is Seth Manfield. Hey, look at that. This guy knows how to play Magic.
Look at that.
Playing white-blue Panharmonicon, which sounds like a stupid casual deck.
It does, yes.
Sounds like a dare.
Now, mind you, I love stupid casual decks. They were my specialty for years, and probably if I had one, still would be. So Panharmonicon, for those of you going, wait, what? It's the 4-cost artifact that says if an artifact or creature entering the battlefield causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, that ability triggers an additional time. So Seth Manfield had to issue trigger warnings every time he sat down to play.
That is probably true.
So yeah, with Panharmonicon doubling all of your ETB triggers, he's running Thraben Inspector, investigate twice, seems good. Reflector Mage.
That is filthy.
Creatures.
That is absolutely disgusting. Wait for it. Completely filthy.
Cloud Blazer.
There it is.
That's the one, yeah. Gain 4 life and draw 4 cards for 5 mana. Seems good.
We used to Sphinx for that. And it's the turn after. Turn 4, Panharmonicon. Oh no, you hit me. Whatever will I do? Guess I'll just gain life and draw cards.
I mean, hell, all of these cards become amazing when they work twice.
Oh yeah.
What am I gonna do after that? I know. I'll Reflector Mage it. No.
No.
Not my own. Yours. You have nothing. Good day, sir.
The Glint Nest Crane. Look at the top 4 cards of your library. Get an artifact from among them. Put it in your hand. Do it twice. Seems good. Pilgrim's Eye. Go get 2 basic lands. Put them in your hand. Seems good. Drowner of Hope.
Get have some dudes.
Get four Eldrazi.
No.
Buh.
I don't want it. No.
Thought not seer. You discard your hand twice. Okay, maybe not that one so much.
It's funny though.
Disgusting.
It's funny. Well,
okay, they do have to reveal their hand and you choose one twice. Okay, so that's good. I was thinking of a different card. And then the Eldrazi Displacer, which allows all these shenanigans to happen many, many, many more times.
And Panharmonicon is not legendary.
No.
It is not.
Those Lintnest Cranes, please tell me he had at least two of these online at some point.
I hope so. Did anybody watch coverage? Please tell us he had two of these on.
I don't know if I would keep playing the round if he had a second. I don't know.
Oh god, like, and did we mention that Sky Sovereign has a triggered ability?
Yeah, we were getting there.
Oh Jesus.
Because Sky Sovereign, not only when it attacks, it's a Titan. It's when it enters the battlefield as well, it bolts something.
Oh god, Stasis Snare is so good now.
Stasis Snare is already good.
Oh wait, no, it's not a
it's
not
artifact
a creature,
or creature.
It's not a creature or an artifact. Okay, Stasis Snare is still just good.
Now, if you have an Opalescence.
Okay, sorry.
Stop that. Stop that.
I got carried away. My bad.
Oh, that's just sick.
Excuse me. So yeah, this is a value deck just up and down and sideways and through, and I love it. Look, there's a Linvala.
I just saw that. No, don't do that. No. No.
Get real low, cast Linvala, gain 10 life, look at your opponent, grin, and then go, trigger warning.
But Linvala has two enters the battlefield triggers.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Don't forget to get the 6/6 worth of flying in addition to the 5/5 worth of flying.
Oh, that's sick.
I mean, you have to be pretty far behind for that to work, but that's why it's in the deck, in the sideboard, because in some decks you're going to get pretty far behind.
So looking at the text on Panharmonicon, so it triggers an additional time. So they're both going to happen, right? Like, as long as the triggering effect occurs once, they're both going to happen, right? Like, no matter what.
No, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So are we looking at Linvala specifically? Yeah.
Well, Linvala has ifs in it. So like, that's going to be different, but I'm just wondering, general, if it doesn't have a second check.
Yeah.
If
it doesn't have a second check, it'll just happen. Yeah.
Right. Now with Linvala, it's going to matter on what the state is after the first one occurs.
Yes.
Yeah, if you gain 5 life and suddenly have more than them, you don't get 5 more.
Right.
Right.
And if you get a 3/3 and have the same number of creatures, you don't get another 3/3.
Yeah.
Right.
But for all these other effects that don't have that check, it's just going to happen twice.
Yeah, there's no intervening that's the whole point. The rest of them.
Yeah, that's majestic.
Which is why I went through them all, just so you could think about it. Because, I mean, even the simplest example, the Thraben Inspector, investigate twice. Get two clues.
Nope, there's just one of me. Okay.
No, not you.
What about the robot?
I don't think Clues 9000 counts.
Yeah, no, different card name.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you'd have to knife fight, because that's what the legend rule really is.
Jeez. So yeah, good on Seth Manfield for taking this all the way to the top, because that's hilarious, and it makes me happy.
Yeah, this actually, it's an interesting play, because you are giving up turn 4, but you're giving it up essentially for a Planeswalker ultimate. Like, this is what a blue-white Planeswalker would do. If Vincer wasn't dead, he'd do this.
That is pretty funny. Oh, he dead.
He dead.
Okay, yeah. I know we have a lot of tournaments to talk about, but if you guys would be so kind as to go to the 9th through 64th deck lists and just drop down to Bobby Fortainley's 11th place deck.
All right, 9th through 64th. You said 11th place?
Yes, sir.
All right.
It's okay. Blue-black summonings.
That's weird.
It's using metallurgic summonings. Now, for those of you going, wait, what? Okay, 3 blue-blue for an enchantment. When you... What was that? As a piece of fuzz. Okay.
Oh.
Whenever you cast, sorry, something flew up into my field of vision and scared me. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, you create an XX colorless construct artifact creature token, where X is that spell's converted mana cost. Okay, so every time you cast a spell, you get a creature of that size, right? Right.
Sure.
You can also 3 blue-blue and exile metallurgic summonings to return all instant and sorceries from your graveyard to your hand if you control 6 or more artifacts. So
that's like double metalcraft.
Pretty much, yeah. Let's see what he's got here. Well, he's got Torrential Gear Hulk.
That's a robot.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That also lets you, wait, whenever you cast an instant sorcery, oh my god, it lets you cast the instant sorcery again to get another construct. Sick.
Yeah.
Ruinous Path costs 3, okay. Transgress the Mind costs 2.
Nope, not awesome hovering. Art.
you've got, and the rest of the deck is, it's, as I'm so fond of saying, it's just Murder and Disruption. You've got Actual Murder, Grasp of Darkness, Essence Extraction, Spell Shrivel, that's Counterspell, Glimmer of Genius, draw some cards, Negate, Counterspell, Anticipate, draw some cards, Confirm Suspicions, Counter Target Spell, and Investigate 3 times, and it gets you a 5 drop.
Confirm.
Yeah, suspicions, I can't say these words. What he said, damn it. Half-Life 3. So yeah, here's another deck that's just fun. Like, look at this. Yeah.
They feel like the kind of decks you'd see showing up at game day.
Right?
And where someone has just found a pet card and they've built the optimal deck around it.
Now, let's keep in mind, there were 1,568 people playing Standard at GP Denver, which, while it's not a huge amount, that's still a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's not like this guy's deck came in 11th out of 30, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man. More ether. Wow, there's ether works all over there. That's definitely getting a sound effect.
Yeah, probably.
There's an energy deck in 15th. Is this... Oh, wow. You guys remember the red-green energy decks?
Like the Dynavolt Tower deck?
Yeah, this one is running all of that plus blue for Torrential Gear Hulk, Negate, and Anticipate, and Void Shatter.
This must have been a really strange tournament to watch.
I bet. All right, I went all the way down to 16th. That's, everything else is pretty standard. Flash, vehicles, lots of etherworks of various flavors.
We have more top eights to look at, so.
Yeah, so rather than going deep on this one, we're just going to sidestep. But yeah. So that was GP Last Dinosaur, which is awesome.
And a whole
I'm
lot
so
more.
So glad. I'm so glad to see that Standard is not, in fact, stagnant. That makes me happy.
It's really weird that all of this pops up at once, too.
Yeah, on opposite sides of the world and the country, but we'll get to that. So
yeah, we'll
the other GP
goes.
Was GP Madrid, which was in Madrid.
That makes sense. Not like those DC liars.
Oh, wait, was this one actually in Madrid? Now that I've said that, I don't know. Someone will let me know, though. So who won? Where am I at here? Hang on. Let me make sure.
Yeah, we're confirming the right order.
Yeah, these are in order. Okay, so Carmine Daniello.
Carmine.
Anyway, Carmine won with a red-green Etherworks Marvel deck. Hey, look at that.
That's amazing.
It's really close to the red-green one we just looked at. As a matter of fact, it might be... It's not quite exactly the same, but it's really close.
I'm wondering if someone released this to the wild or if... And maybe this has just been something people have been grinding on Magic Online for a bit.
Yeah,
I have not been paying attention to this for a bit, so.
Did one of the popular streamers start streaming this and people lose their minds?
Oh, Chewy, you streamed. Did you release this?
I hate you. No, I did come up with a Jade Golem C'Thun Druid, though, that I really think has possibility, just my build is bad.
What now?
Exactly.
Is this the new? Is this one of those cult things?
Maybe? I mean, C'Thun is an old god, so yes.
Oh, well, there you go then.
Yeah, okay, so Nicholas Legend. Is this guy's really almost named Nicholas Legend? Because that's awesome.
It kind of looks like it's Legendary.
Yeah, Nicholas Legendary. Wait, where's he from? Hang on, let me see if I can figure out how to pronounce his name. He is from France. So would that be like Legendre or something like that?
Probably.
Okay, then. He's playing Black Red Aggro, so Rakdos Aggro.
Whoa.
Except this is not...
No, this is neat.
Oh, wait, no, when I scrolled away... Okay, so when I came back, it was showing me the Red-Green Etherworks Marvel deck, but it said Black-Green Aggro, and I'm like, Chandra Ishkanat what? Okay, wait, no, let me try that again. There we go. Okay, yeah, this deck. We've seen this before. It's got your Smuggler's Copter because standard deck. And then it's running things like the Bomat Courier, Inventor's Apprentice, Scrap Heap Scrounger, PNLR, Bloodhull Priest.
That was the one that made me go, whoa, because I'd forgotten.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. That's the 4-4 for 2 black red It says, when it enters the battlefield or attacks, if you have no cards in hand, it deals 2 damage to target creature or player. And you can play it for 1, a black and red, with madness.
It's like a baby titan.
It is. It's a baby titan when you're hellbent.
A baby hellbent titan.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
It's also running Fiery Temper, Unlicensed Disintegration, and Lightning Axe. And yeah, so you've got your key to the city.
But how unlicensed can it be when you have the key to the city?
Those two things are not related.
Aw. Well, there goes my goal of getting the key to the city.
I mean, I could make a joke about a prominent politician who is going to have access to all kinds of things that is doing things that are unlicensed, but I won't.
Oh, thank you. I was really worried you were going to add that thought to my mind in the global consensus.
So yeah, I mean, it's turn guy sideways and punch in face, and Clues loves it.
That sounds very Rakdos.
It certainly does.
Yeah, and it's even got Transgress the Mind in the sideboard.
I am not looking at that card.
The sideboard's neat, though. It slows down significantly. It's got 2 more Key to the City, Transgress, Goblin Dark Dwellers, Kalitas, Lost Legacy, Galvanic Bombardment, and Chandra Torch of Defiance in the board, you know, in case you just can't break through.
Sure.
You get all that stuff, which is neat. Bombardment is just creatures. Okay, just making sure. It's like, if it was face, it would be in the deck. Duh. All right, so third place is Callum Bousfield, playing Flash.
Yeah.
With a key to the city in Flash.
Yeah.
Whoa. Huh. That's neat.
An interesting inclusion.
It is.
Not really sure I entirely get it.
Well, I mean, it draws you cards and makes something unblockable, so yeah, I mean.
I mean, it kind of, like, do you have a way of tapping it that doesn't cost you cards?
No. Not that I see, anyway.
Yeah.
Does it always have Bruna and Gisela in the sideboard? Have I just not noticed
sometimes,
that?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, sometimes they're there as a, sideboard. I mean, that's gotta be what they're there for. You play it and you go, Because I know I would.
I would kind of be tempted to go to a Magic tournament and run, like, Gisela, but not Bruna, just for the bluff factor.
Just so they're waiting for it. They hold that removal spell.
They just hold the counter spell up when I hit 7 mana or whatever. And then I proceed to play other cards and just, you know, that's my tech.
Like, your whole deck is made up of Gisela and then counterspell test cards to see if they'll counter this so your Bruna can get through.
Yeah.
Okay, back to real decks. In fourth place, we have Marco Camaluzzi playing Red Green Aetherworks Marvel.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's popular. Yeah, yeah, okay, next. We've got where's this guy from? Hang on. I'm learning how to do this. See profile. He is from Spain. His name is also incomplete, apparently, here.
Oh.
Scroll. Oh god, it's showing me the wrong deck again. Oh, here we go. Rafael Hidalgo. There we go. Playing Black Red Zombies. It's showing me Carmine's deck again. Damn it. Here we go. And this is the one that I thought I saw before. But I didn't.
Wait. Are you sure?
Yeah, because it was the Blue-Red Zombie Emerge. Blue-Black Zombie Emerge. This is Blue-Red... This is Black-Red Zombies. With your Cryptbreaker, your Insolent Neonate, your Scrap Heap Scrounger, your Prized Amalgam, Haunted Dead, Voldaren Pariah... And then burn. And Smuggler's Copter, because standard.
It's the vampires and the zombies learned how to fly helicopters as we were done for.
Yeah, that's the end right there.
Sounds like an amazing 80s movie.
Oh god, doesn't it? Or a really bad sci-fi movie.
It could be all of these things.
Sci-fi the channel, not sci-fi the genre, because I don't even think those count anymore.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what you would call it. Would it be just like, you know, Brain Chopper?
So in sixth place, Adrian Ramiro Cano is playing Flash with the cards, you know.
Yeah, we know this one.
It still goes through my head every time.
I bet it does.
Luis Gobern is playing Red-Green Aetherworks Marvel.
This one's a little different, though.
Is it? I accidentally clicked my mouse wheel down, and now my mouse died, so I can't get back to
it. Wait, I'm sorry, which Red-Green Aetherworks Marvel are we on?
The one with white in it.
Gobern in seventh place.
The red-green with white in it.
Yep, there we are.
Okay, here we go. I got it back. Oh yeah, this is this is different.
Yeah,
it's running two copies of Nahiri the Harbinger, because if you're playing for Imrakul and you've got Vessel of Nascency to just throw a Planeswalker down, and you've got Aether Hub for white mana, why the hell not play Nahiri just for another way to get Imrakul out?
Yeah,
seems good. I mean, Nahiri's no slouch by herself, so
certainly not.
Yeah, I mean, she has to be useful to get to that minus eight, and she is.
Yeah, yeah. I like it. That's pretty neat. And then, in eighth place, Alexander Flamio Hotman is running another red-green Aetherworks Marvel.
Although this one's got Tulin Vol in the main.
In the main.
Which is not where you expected that, because your red-green deck has a double white in the main.
Along with a spawning bed in the land base.
Yeah, that's weird.
Huh. Neat.
Like, are you pretty much entirely relying on Aetherworks Marvel to cast Linvala?
Well, you've got Aether Hub and one Plains.
Yeah, get there.
And four Evolving Wilds to go get said Plains, so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's doable.
I mean, it's doable, it's just not the plan. But as long as there's way.
You've still got the Vessel of Nascency, too. That goes in your hand, though, so never mind.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting which cards I'm reading. So what happens if you accidentally draw all the copies of things before you Aetherworks Marvel? Is there a way to put things that you've drawn somewhere else you can get to them? You can put them in the graveyard, obviously. So no, if you somehow draw all three Ulamog and one Imrakul, you're just boned, right?
Yeah.
Go Gadget Linvala. Hope for the best.
Yeah, seriously, I don't see anything that puts things back into the library from the graveyard, or
I don't think you're gonna find anything.
Or anything. Huh. I guess that's just crap happens, start over.
Well, realistically, if you manage to get four cards in your hand that are unplayable, then you're probably gonna have to scoop anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you're already doing terribly.
That is a good point.
That's just probably the nature of it.
So I'm going to go check the... Oh, here, look, a black-green Delirium all the way in ninth place, and it was Yul Larson. More Aetherworks, more Flash. Mono-white humans in 12th place.
Really?
And because it's me, I have to say it, that's racist. Except there's a dwarf. That's not racist.
That's opportunist.
I do like that the town gossip monger is just a human. It doesn't have a job, because if you're a gossip monger, that means you've got way too much free time, so clearly you don't have a job.
Maybe gossip monger is an actual respected job in this world. I doubt it, though.
Well, then it would be human gossip monger, like, and on the type line, so.
Well, they didn't want to make all the changelings gossip mongers.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They didn't earn that.
Mistworm Ultimus suddenly feels really, really just, I have to call all my friends and tell them right now, you guys.
So the rest of the top 16 was just more Flash and Delirium.
Yeah.
Other than the mono white humans and the Aetherworks. All right then. So there you go. That is two standard tournaments down. By the way, there were 1,456 people playing standard in Madrid. Neat.
Mm-hmm.
So oh, then
so
we move.
There's Aetherworks in these. Kind of neat.
Yeah. So then we move down to Atlanta, Georgia. I assure you we have to, it's not by choice, to talk about the Star City Invitational.
Paused it. Ha!
Uh-oh. Okay. Whew, got there too.
Oh, yeah, I already had that open and paused it, so.
It's a race.
It is. Like, come on, give me the pause button. Give
it's
me the pause
a chase.
Button.
Open up and feed your face.
Oh my god.
You are such a disgrace.
Alright, so. How many people were in the Invitational? It looks like 431 were invited to the Invitational. And it was won, whoop, that's the second place deck. It was won by Jacob Bao, playing Naya Aetherworks. So named because of, well, there's Nahiri right there.
That helps.
But also, he's running a single Sigarda Heron's Grace. Ooh. Yeah. Oh, there's Traverse too, look at that. That wasn't in the other decks, was it?
Huh.
I
don't think so.
I don't think it was in that deck. I don't think it was in Aetherworks.
Yeah, I don't think it was in the Aetherworks deck is what I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Does Sigarda in play actually kill any of the other archetypes?
You and humans you control have a hexproof.
I don't think so.
I don't think in standard that stops anything in its tracks.
Not especially?
Yeah. Okay. I didn't think so, but I'm just wondering, like, whenever I see Sigarda pop up, I'm like, are there any decks that are just completely hosed if they can't target you? And
I mean, it does hose some of it. Well, it hoses some of the burn.
Mm-hmm. But they just burn her.
Yeah, they just burn her instead, and then they burn your face. So.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, I don't think she does
good.
She's more of a really good speed bump than she is something that kills a whole idea, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Of course, right now people are sending us tweets like, you didn't think about this deck. No, we didn't.
That is accurate. I did not.
Yeah. second place, Ben Friedman is playing a more different Naya Aetherworks deck.
We definitely missed this being a thing for a while if this many people are doing it. And by we missed, I mean it hasn't popped up in our list, so we haven't seen it.
The last time we talked about standard was when, well, the last time we talked about standard in depth was the week before we had Schofield on, right?
Yeah, because we've been straight up modern and legacy and stuff for a while.
Yeah, it was 3 weeks ago now. So in 3 weeks, I'm glad that another deck has popped up.
Yeah, it's just clearly not its first outing if it's all over the place like this.
Yeah, this one's running Tireless Tracker and a Worldbreaker. This is not Naya, though. I guess there's white in the sideboard.
This shouldn't be called Naya.
Like, probably not.
Just for a Sigarda?
Well, there's two in the board.
Well, yeah, but like two Sigarda, it's the only thing that uses white in the whole deck.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. But this one is different because, like I said, it's running the Worldbreaker and the Tireless Tracker in the main.
Mm-hmm.
Plus one Kozilek's Return, which wasn't in all of the others. So, yeah. Variations on a theme. I like it.
Sure. This is different.
Third place.
That's different.
Yeah, Jim Davis is running an aggro deck, but this is Esper aggro, which this actually isn't different.
Like, does it become aggro when you put Gideon in it? Is that what they're telling me?
Well, it's almost, okay, so it looks like a mixture between like the blue-white flash deck and the mono-white humans with Scrap Heap Scrounger thrown in, and that's the only reason they called it Esper. We've said before that the Scrap Heap Scrounger has black, and sometimes they add black to the name for it, and other times they don't.
Yeah, that's dumb. It has Courtyard so it can activate it, but that doesn't make it Esper either.
Yeah, but it's got your Scrap Heap Scrounger, your Reflector Mage, Spell Queller, Thraven Inspector, Toolcraft Exemplar, Thalia, Gideon Ally of Zendikar, and Smuggler's Copter. So it's a weird smashing up of those things.
Yeah, it's like the main is pretty aggressive given it's mostly, you know, curve out at 3 and then Gideon for giggles. But when you go to the sideboard, it shifts midrange pretty hard if it wants to. It's got some
with Avacyn,
Sky Sovereign. Sky Sovereigns, and yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, hell yeah.
I mean,
oh, and there's Selfless Spirit over there. I'm surprised that's not in the main.
Yeah, that does seem like it's missing. I'm sure a great deal of playtesting went into that, though. It's weird seeing the Reflector Mages in the main, I guess, are just there to clear the path for all your aggressive guys and just try to punch through in, like, turn 4 or 5.
Yeah, we see Jim Davis's name enough to know that Jim Davis does not just screw around.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, my guess would be that you drop the Reflector Mages to clear the path, and then you drop Gideon, you pump everything, and you just power through, and then as your opponent tries to stabilize, you just drop more Reflector Mages and have them drive helicopters and stuff.
Pretty much.
All right, then.
So, moving on to fourth place, Adam Snook is playing Black-Green Aggro, which has... Okay, this... I remember this deck. This deck is a trip. It's got your Liliana of the Last Hope, because she's really good.
Yeah.
Like you do.
And she slots right into this deck. You've got Smuggler's Copter, because standard. Let's look. Okay, you've got Deadweight, Blossoming Defense, Grasp of Darkness, Traverse the Olven Vault. So you've got cheap removal, cheap pump, cheap removal, basic land searching that has Delirium. Okay, well, that's good. So what's the rest of the deck look like? Scrap Heap Scrounger. Let's move down. Grim Flayer, Gnarlwood Dryad, Mind Rack Demon, Catacomb Sifter, and topping it off is Verdurous Gearhulk. Just bam!
Yeah.
Yeah. I really love Grim Flayer. I keep saying that. That's because I'm happy every time I see it. So good. And again, the sideboard slows it down. Ishkana, Kalitas, Lost Legacy.
Flaying Tendrils.
I don't even remember what that does. Oh, yeah. All creatures get -2/-2 until end of turn. Nice.
And if it would die, exile it.
Oh, yeah, because that set. Nice. That was Oath, right? Yeah. Not Oath. What was the one before Oath? No, wait, that is Oath.
I mean, that I'm pretty sure that's Oath. One before that was just Battle.
Right, right. That's right, because that's two set block. Yeah. Excuse me, I'm old. So Chris Anderson is in fifth with the Tamer Aetherworks deck. He's got the Worldbreaker. Why is it Tamer? Where's the blue?
And the board.
Ceremonious Rejection and Negate in the board.
Yeah.
Oh. Hey, and look, Nissa Vital Force. Looking dumbstruck. What am I doing in this sideboard?
I thought I was just here to attune the Aether, but okay, I guess I'll hang out.
Yeah, apparently. Sixth place. A green-red Aetherworks deck by Jeffrey Sawinski. With, oh look, there's Tireless Tracker, just the one of, just hanging out there again.
Chilling.
Wow, Tireless Tracker actually works really well because Investigate gives you clues, you sack the clue, this thing gets bigger, and you get, your Marvel energy. It's weird how, like, all of these Star City players are running the Tireless Tracker, I think thus far, all of them, and none of the ones we saw at either GP were. Neat. The sideboard looks like it can shift higher into energy with Bristling Hydra.
Oh, yeah.
And Voltaic Brawler. Check that out.
I forgot about the Brawler entirely.
That's pretty funny. All right, then. So, let's go. That was Jeffrey Sawinski. Yeah, so seventh place, we have a black-green Delirium deck by Joe Bernal.
This looks familiar.
Yeah, this is very much the aggro deck, just with Sylvan Advocate.
Oh, God, I rolled over it.
Yeah, you did.
I don't even... Oh, it's in the board. Yep. Okay. I was like, yeah, you did. Oh, yeah, you did.
Why I didn't even notice.
See, you should have gone to pick the brain.
Okay. If everything's fine, we're all fine.
Again, if you're just joining us, Clues doesn't like the art on Transgress the Mind.
I do not, because it is creepy as hell.
That's that.
Viewers, you should look up the art on Transgress the Mind. No, blow it up real big.
Don't.
And then don't sleep that night.
Yeah.
3D!
God. Oh, nightmares.
Exactly. And then in eighth place, we've got a green-red Aetherworks deck that is not running. It's in the board.
Four of them. Not even.
Yeah, well, the last one had one in the main and three in the board.
Yeah, this one's just straight up four in the board. Like, no, they're all here, though.
Neat. I have to look up some of this coverage and actually watch this deck a few times and see.
Yeah, I have a feeling there's a lot of nuances that are obvious once you see them, but until you do, it's like, oh, yeah, those cards all go together. You don't even know why. Like, I want to know how much energy this deck actually has by the time it drops the Aetherworks, because based on all the incidental energy, I wouldn't be surprised if it drops with six, or at least with five or so, and then after combat it gets to six.
It wouldn't surprise me. Also, there's that single Nissa in the board again, looking amazed.
Chilling. Yeah.
Poor Nissa.
She got a pop figure. She's fine.
We pick on her because she's dumb.
She's come a long way from that original card.
Well, I mean, and her original characterization, too. They seem to have completely dropped the way that she was characterized before.
Yeah, she was pretty rough around the edges in original Zendikar.
A little bit.
And then she woke up the Eldrazi.
Because the book was terrible.
Yeah.
So, the Invitational is not just standard, though. So, we need to go bounce over to the Modron real quick.
Yeah.
Where our winner, Jacob Bao, was playing Dredge.
That's almost magic.
In modern, it's more than
that's true. It's in modern.
Yeah. Ben Friedman in second was playing the Bant Eldrazi deck. Yeah. Nothing really to see here. Jim Davis in third is playing Grixis Delver, complete with Zombie Fish and Tassiger. Oh, and Young Peasy, since.
Thank you.
I know Clues would get mad at me if I don't mention it. Okay. Nothing terribly fancy going on there. Adam Snook in fourth is playing Grixis Delver also. Looks like damn near the same deck. Yay, Delver. Chris Anderson in fifth is playing a red-green Breach, which is the, oh no. What's the card that's not here?
Show and Tell?
No, the one you play with Valakut.
Oh.
It's not here, so I can't see it.
I'm picturing the art. Oh god.
I can see the art in my head.
Scapeshift?
Scapeshift! Thank you!
Oh, for some reason I was thinking of Koth, and I'm like, why am I thinking of Koth? That's wrong.
That is completely wrong.
Like, yeah. I knew it was wrong. I'm like, why am I thinking of Koth?
Not.
Cause mountains, right? Yeah.
Cause mountains, yeah. Good lord. Yeah, but this is the Summoner's Pack through the Breach, whatever, with Primeval Titan. Yeah, you guys know the deck.
I like to think that the same Tireless Trackers were used in both of his decks.
Unsleeve them from here, stick them in over there.
Yeah.
Oh man, for God's sake, what's next? Jeffrey Sierwinski is playing Infect.
Yeah, he should have that looked at.
I'm sure the judges did.
Oh my god.
Blossoming Defense. Why would you print that?
Right? Joe Bernal is playing, or Bernal, that guy is playing Jund. Anything, nope, nothing really nifty here. It's about the only deck you see Tarmogoyf in anymore. Is Tarmogoyf still stupidly expensive?
I was about to ask the exact same question.
Yep.
Probably.
I'm looking at 160 from, here on Star City from...
Which version is that? Future Sight one, yeah, okay. That's probably the most expensive one, right?
Modern Masters is 120. Next Modern Masters is 120. Yeah, it's,
No, 120 is down a bit.
Considering how it doesn't see play in every deck anymore, at least in Modern. And Legacy's not a format anymore.
Wait.
Oh.
No, you guys are crazy. It's gone down a lot since that time it was the most expensive top 8 pick you could take. No, wait, that was a foil. Never mind. You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a foil. Silly. Those are still worth like a GP, right?
Oh, by the way, since we mentioned it last week, people have been randomly commenting and telling me how much recent events were.
Yeah.
Because Clues and I mentioned that last week. And the GP that was up north, was it Boston? Where was it? Rhode Island? Providence, maybe? One that was in the New England recently was the entry fee was $75.
All right, then.
So, yeah, they have been going up. I just don't go to the tournaments to play, so I had never had to look. So I had no idea, and Clues went to judge. So
he had no idea, yeah.
I don't think I've played in a GP since Gatecrash.
Yeah, so sorry about that. But yes, the Japanese GP was a little high, but not like super high.
Yeah.
Compared to your normal GP, so that's good. It wasn't like, you know, triple the cost. But it was good. Okay, moving on. We could do the math and figure out all of that, but we're not gonna.
Nope.
Where am I at? Eighth place, Colin. Wait, is this the person in eighth place? I don't think I said his name. So the guy that finished eighth in the invitation was Collins Mullen.
Yeah.
Sorry. And what was he playing in standard? The green red Aetherworks deck, right? He's playing Dredge in Modern.
Yeah, his sideboard has that bog that my eye fell in.
I'm sorry, what?
Look, if you guys are gonna get everybody to at Squee Goblin to Bob Noyan Goblin Bog for a week, I'm gonna reference it.
Oh yeah. Well, because I don't even remember now. Oh, because Bog is a colloquialism for bathroom.
Which no, it's not.
I've heard it used that way before, damn it.
I have not, but I'll believe you. Because they mentioned last week that I was gone and that they forgot why, I'll just tell everyone. One of my friends was visiting from London and I wasn't going to subject them to what could have in theory been more than an hour of Monday Night Magic while they were visiting from another country. So we went out and had delicious food instead.
And Taco Bell.
No, that was later. That was a later mistake. No, we went to Raleigh and had good food. It was nice. We also went to the zoo.
Did they at any point refer to the bathroom as the bog?
No, mostly they refer to it as the loo because they're British.
Right.
That is a real thing. And
being
yeah,
British,
also,
I would hope so.
I mean, for some people. And yeah, the only other comment I'll have on that tangent is that going to the zoo on a weekday is weird because there's like no one there.
There's no one there.
It's brilliant. Super amazing because you just walk up and see animals and then you walk over and see other animals and you know, you don't have to wait for anything. It's just strange.
By the way, I went to Google, typed in bog. One, wet muddy ground too soft to support a heavy body. Okay. Or, wetland with acid peaty soil typically dominated by peat moss. Or two, British, informal, a bathroom. Boom. She just lives in the proper part of British where they wouldn't say that.
You mean sorry, London? Yeah.
You actually broke up there completely for me, so I didn't hear it, but I'm assuming that it was British for bathroom.
Yes.
Okay.
You know,
I went to Google and
British, typed the language.
Yes, British, the language.
Yeah, the language.
British is a language.
Yeah.
Well, it's English there. We speak American.
We totally speak American.
And that's our problem. So, moving on.
Our problem. Okay.
Well, it's one of the many.
There's your problem.
So that was a thing.
Yeah, that was the Invitational.
Now, I think.
And that's all the tournaments ever.
I think this applies to the Invitational. There is a Deck Tech video that we have to show off because this guy would have been here tonight, but he's on a plane. It's four color planeswalkers.
Played by Sam Jackson?
Played by Sam Jackson. I'm tired of these.
There's no swearing on Monday Night Magic.
But no, seriously, go look this up. The link is in the show notes. It's four color planeswalkers. There are 17 planeswalkers in this deck.
Yeah. And it's not like a, you know, 4-4, 3-3, whatever split. No, there's.
No, you know what? I'm going to run through it because it's hilarious. There's a Chandra Flamecaller, two Chandra Torch of Defiance, one Gideon Jura, two Jace Architect of Thought, two Nahiri the Harbinger, one Nissa Vital Force, two Nissa Voice of Zendikar, one Ral Zarek, two Tamiyo Field Researcher, one Tamiyo the Moon Sage, one Ugin the Spirit Dragon, and one Xenagos the Reveler. There's also one copy of Deploy the Gatewatch, and three copies of Doubling Season.
Because you have to.
I do believe that sums it up well. But if you want to see the whole thing and the video where this guy, he seems oddly familiar, but I can't place him.
Do you want to mention all the walkers on the board while you're at it?
Oh yeah, there's also one Ajani Mentor of Heroes, one Elspeth Sun's Champion, and one Nicol Bolas Planeswalker, and one Death Star Karn Liberated in the board. Let's not forget that.
Never forget that.
So yeah, there's an Imrakul Eons Torn too, because you're playing Nahiri, so you have to.
Yeah, I mean that's like the law.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care what the guy who made this calls this deck. I'm just gonna call it Trade Binder.
actually, in the video, he talks about a guy at his local store who has a less serious version of this that's called something Trade Binder.
Got any trades? Yeah, that guy.
So yeah, it's Chris Lansdell, just in case anyone didn't know that. And I sent him a message yesterday. I'm like, dude. He's like, nope, I'll be on a plane. I was like, I didn't even ask, but he knew what I wanted.
He knew what he wanted you to ask.
Yeah, because he was at the Invitational and playing and having a good old time. So
yeah,
so he had. Do you have any idea how this deck did for him?
Well, it says he finished 311th place.
Right, but it was a split format. So my question is, yes. did this deck do well and his standard deck not as such, or?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I do know that he rattled off a list of all the planeswalkers whose limit break he managed to fire off over the course of the weekend, and it was almost all.
I'd wager when you have doubling season or multiple doubling seasons out, you just start firing limit breaks the turn you cast some of them.
Yeah, that's why they're there.
Yeah, it's like doubling season. Okay, now I cast Nahiri, and here's Imrakul, and I win.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
For those of you who don't know what doubling season does, it's wrong, and they will mention it as an example of how every card can be broken.
Yep.
Yeah. So there you go. But yeah, go check that out. The deck is hilarious. And, of course, Chris is usually entertaining on camera, and this time is no different. The last time we highlighted one of these, it was his completely insane Soul Sisters deck. You remember that? Well, I do.
I do indeed.
So that was the, what is this? This is the Invitational. Close that. This is, okay, here we go. Now we've got the Open, where 335 people were playing. All right, we're going to go a lot faster on these. First place, Brennan DeCandio. That's a cool name. Is playing the Black-Green Delirium deck. Eli Cassis is playing Bant Aggro. Wait, Bant Aggro in second.
Bant.
Oh, yeah, it's similar to the deck we talked about before. Verdurous Gearhulk at the top. It's got Loam Dryad, Reflector Mage, Servant of the Conduit, Thraben Inspector, Avacyn, and Gideon, and Smuggler's Copter. Yep, okay, that makes sense. Patrick Reynolds in third is playing Black Green Delirium. Typo. Michael Kenney. Hey! Is that who I think it is?
Maybe.
I think that's Mike from, that's your instep. I'm almost certain. And if not, then I apologize. That might be Kenny. Damn it, now I gotta go look. So somebody tell me what he was running, would you?
So he's running, white blue Panharmonicon. Complete with all of that busted stuff we mentioned before. And an essence flux. That's funny, actually. You've got your Panharmonicon deck running like before with your, you know, doubling up on your Pilgrim's Eyes, your Cloud Blazer, your Drowner of Hope, your all that nonsense. You got your Displacers there to trigger it all again, your Reflector Mage, because they don't need to cast those cards and they can't for a while. Thought Knots, Thraben, all that stuff. But when you've got your Essence Flux, that is the very basic exile creature you control, then return it to the battlefield under its owner's control. If the spirit put a +1/+1 counter on it, and this deck with Panharmonicon out, that's like, hey, blue, do all that nonsense again. And that's pretty awesome. Because I don't think there are any actual spirits to be had here. No, it's just purely here for blinking. Which is pretty awesome. And anything else strange or different in this one?
No.
The Sky Sovereign's in the board. Linvala's in the board. As before, bring up, Thawknot Sneers if you want it. Fumigate, in case you just want to kill everything. I don't know that you would, but it's good to have the option. And
I'm asking.
And there's a Westvale Abbey, so sure. Seems funny. Yeah, the Panharmonicon decks look like a lot of fun. It strikes me as the kind of deck that if you want to play like a Planeswalker Ultimate that happens every time, you could just do that. And we'll see if people learn to run Artifact Hate. There's usually some in the board, but like if you land that on the first, you know, game and you don't just die from the tempo hit, you're probably going to do okay. Though I think if I were...
Sorry, I'm...
Go ahead.
Oh, I found a screenshot of the deck he was playing in the Invitational, and it looks extremely similar. But he was 7-2 going into day two. And I don't know when the open starts comparatively.
Well, the date listed on the deck here is 12/3. So the standard open must have been on the 3rd.
Oh, wait. Invitationals are 3-day affairs
yeah,
now, aren't they?
I think so. I think it started on Friday, probably. It's hard to keep track of the way this thing works.
The 3rd would be day 2, though.
Yeah. If it started on Friday, then that's what it would be.
And I have no idea. But anyway, I do like this deck. As I said the last time we saw it over at the GP, that was Denver, right? Yeah, that was Denver. There is also the infinite combo with Panharmonicon and Drowner of Hope with an Eldrazi Displacer. You can generate infinite Scions, which just occurred to me. So with the Panharmonicon, you get 4 Scions. The Displacer ability costs 3. You sack 3 of them. And then make 4, and then you sack 3, and then make 4.
Oh, I see.
So that's pretty neat.
Yeah, because each time you chuck the Drowner.
Each time you have one more guy left over. So you can make infinite dudes, and therefore infinite mana. Not that there's anything to do in this deck with infinite mana especially, but infinite dudes are still infinite.
Yeah, that's still enough to attack and win with.
Yeah.
Did the other one have Drowner of Hope? Did I just miss that?
I think it did. Okay. Yeah, we rattled off what they all did.
Yeah, I think we were still dumbfounded by the concept of like double Linvala nonsense and just distracted.
Yeah, well, the double everything has such insane value. I didn't even get as far as looking at how they fit together. That's insane. All right.
Then. Oh no, that's great too, because with your infinite dudes, you can then start sacking them to tap things as well. So you know, double shame, because not only are you hitting them with infinite dudes, they're tapped out. That's just funny.
Wait, what are you?
You're tapping.
Oh, with the Drowner.
Yeah.
Wait. Is that the other ability on the Drowner?
Yeah, the one that no one cares about. I mean, it's not an irrelevant ability, but in this circumstance of infinite dudes, it doesn't really matter. But it's still funny to be able to tap them down.
Wow. So you make, so you make like 1 million dudes plus the number of creatures they have, and then you sack the number of creatures they have to tap all their creatures and then swing with a million dudes.
Yeah. You want to have,
seems good.
This is how you set them to exactly the negative life total that you want.
I need you to be at negative 37, all right? Look,
I get it, an achievement. Deal with it. All right, so that...
If I get you to negative 37, then one of my Pokemon will hatch faster.
Oh, can you do that? That'd be amazing. No.
It was on my card that was in my box at the pre-release, and I'm doing it, man.
Gotta check that box.
Anyway, so going, that was, so if that is the same Mike Kenny, then that is the guy, one of the guys on At Your Instep, another podcast here on the MTG Cast Network. And I love those guys. Every time I've ever run into them in person, they're entirely too much fun. So moving on then, if we're done there, I think we are. Orlando Lucas is playing a black-green Delirium deck. Shaheen Sarani in six is playing a black-green Delirium deck. Another time.
Having fun with that.
I guess. Ryan McDonough. I'm guessing McDonough? 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 I hate the English language. Is playing, Mardu Vehicles. And then Chris McCord in eighth is playing Boros Aggro. Now, look at this deck compared to the other one. This one's got Thalia's Lieutenant, Inventor's Apprentice, which we, the other one had, the Hanwir Militia Captain, and the Hanwir Garrison. And in the lands, yep, there's a single Hanwir Battlements.
Yeah. Go for it.
Nice. Cause sometimes it'll work, and that's hilarious.
That's a good reason to do it.
And even if it doesn't, it still gives your dudes haste, so it's fine.
Yeah. Cool.
Nice. Okay, then. So that's the top eight. There's some Aetherworks, 9th and 10th, Mono White Humans, Blue... Does that say Blue-Red Control? Oh, that deck. Right. Wow, I haven't seen that really since the Pro Tour. Nice.
There's a lot of Magic played this weekend.
Yeah, right? We're not even done yet.
Not even.
Because now we have the Standard Classic, where... 62 people played. Esper Aggro 1, followed by White-Red Vehicles. Wait, did that have... Nope, just running the copter. Huh, neat. Sorry, I had to check. And then Bant Aggro... Okay, wait. I didn't give names. I'm sorry. Lee... How do you say that? Lee State? Stet? Stay?
Lee Stet.
It's playing the Esper Aggro deck. Steve Mann is playing White-Red Vehicles that I accidentally clicked on.
Why did you say just the copter?
Oh, because it's not running the... Oh, it's got the caravan, too. Excuse me. I was looking specifically for the driverless car.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, my bad. Also running the Cultivator's Caravan. Cult of Raiders Caravan from Aether Revolt. That is the Monday Night Magic preview card. Ted Felicetti is running Bant Aggro.
With four Tomio. That is...
With what?
There are four Tomio field researchers and Bant Aggro.
Damn.
I don't know if you get to keep your Aggro card at that point.
I want to draw these cards. I'm going to... No, you totally do, because you're totally going to draw those cards.
I don't think this is aggro.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That...
Dude, look at the rest of the deck. That's pretty aggro. It's sort of leaning into the mid-range.
It's got Linvala.
Like, it's the slower end of aggro, but it's still pretty aggro. It's capable of blowing your opponent out, not slowly. But yeah, I think you're probably right now that
not I'm running the one drops.
Now that I've said all that out loud, I feel dumb.
This feels pretty mid range. Not that it's bad.
Yeah. So Niraj Shulka is running White Red Humans. Yep, that's that deck. Okay. Jonathan Rosum is running a Black Green Delirium. James O'Shaughnessy is running the Aetherworks deck. Hunter Nance in 7th is running Flash, and Skylar Bobo is running Jeskai Control. Let's go look at this. Yep, Dynavolt Tower, Torrential Gear Hulk, Nahiri with no Emrakul, cool. because screw conventional wisdom. We ain't got time for that. Neat.
What is Nahiri getting?
Wait a minute, maybe that was Day 2 of the Open, not the Invitational, so that would be why he finished so highly? I just realized the Opens are 2 days, the Invitational's 3. Duh. I was confused because it's always the Open and then the Classic on the second day.
Yeah.
But this was the Invitational, and then on day two of that, the Open started, and then on day two of that, the Classic happened. So, excuse me, I might be dumb. I was confused myself. Okay, enough of Standard. We are done with Standard. That's all the Standard.
Standard over.
Please tell me that's all the Standard. Okay, good. So then there was the modern classic, which had 156 people playing, where Caleb Scherer was running Dredge. Wait, yeah, this is the right one. Was running Dredge. Had to make sure I wasn't looking at the wrong list of decks. Wrong one. Hang on. Dredge. Yeah, here we go. Okay, that looks pretty normal. Max Olzak. That's a cool name. Is running, Green White Tron. Yep. Pretty normal. Slivers in third place by Bradley George.
Oh, nice.
Coco Slivers with Aether Vial. Yep.
That sounds right. And Spellskite.
Oh my god.
Yeah, no, I know. It's funny.
You've got pump slivers, you've got, hang on. Where are the pump? Predatory, Sedge,
Sinew,
and then you've got Blur for haste, Dark Heart for sacrifice for life gain, Diffusion, so that they can't target your dudes, Gale Rider for flying, Mana Weft for mana, Necrotic Sliver for sacrifice this to blow stuff up. Sedge Sliver also gives regenerate, of course, and Sentinel Sliver for vigilance. And then that's the deck. Everything else is land, Aether Vial, Coco, collect company, or dismember.
And then you have a wonderful collection of sideboard slivers.
I was going to say, look at the sideboard. Oh my god. Bone Scythe for double strike, Cautery Sliver for sacrifice to either deal damage or prevent damage. Another diffusion frenetic. Because
you got time, right?
Oh god. Yeah.
You got time.
Harmonic to blow up artifacts and enchantments. Homing for sliver cycling, which is hilarious. Siphon for lifelink. Telekinetic for tapping things. And then Warping Whale and a sliver Hive Lord.
Because why not?
Them all indestructible. Let's not forget, he's also got Cavern of Souls and Mutavault, which is totally a sliver, and Sliver Hive, which makes slivers. I love you, Bradley George. I love you so much.
God bless you, sir.
That's awesome. Okay, Steve Wilson in fourth place is playing Jeskai Flash.
I get excited when I see Resto definitely. Angel. Card's so broken.
Just a little bit.
I love that card.
Now that it's not in standard anymore.
No, it's fine in this environment. It was miserable in standard, but I loved it.
Ryan Steiner in fifth place is playing Ad Nauseam, which apparently people being Jeremy get mad if I call it Storm, even though it's totally a Storm deck.
He can't stop you. He's not here.
That's true. He couldn't stop me when he was here, so. Tyler Williams in sixth is playing Death Shadow Aggro. There's that deck. Remember that deck? Yeah, you do. Punch yourself in the face until you can kill your opponent with Death Shadow. Got it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Okay, here we go. Here's a deck right here.
I like this.
Red-White Prison. It's a red-white control deck because that's not redundant.
No.
You've got your Simian Spirit Guide and your Emrakul. Oh, there's one Emrakul. That means, yep, for Nahiri, the Harbinger.
Yeah.
I like how that's it for creatures, though.
Well, yeah.
Hey, Gideon's a creature sometimes.
You don't actually want or need creatures, because you've got Gideon. Yeah, pretty much. You've also got a Johnny Vengeance, Chandra Torch of Defiance, and the aforementioned Nahiri. Wait, are there... There's one Needle Spires, you know, in case you want...
You want to punch them with a land?
Punch somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty good. It's got Double Strike. That's fine. And then you've got Chalice of the Void, Blood Moon, Journey to Nowhere, Oblivion Ring, Blessed Alliance, Lightning Helix, Anger of the Gods, Wrath of God.
Just go all together.
Just all the control ever. No. Kill everything. No. Kill everything. No. You can say no without counterspells. I've seen
it. Yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty cool. There's also a Ravenous Trap in the board. Yeah.
Well,
for those that are going, wait, what? That is exile all cards from target player's graveyard. It's two black, but really it's free.
It's free against Dredge.
Cause, yeah, if an opponent had three or more cards put into his or her graveyard from anywhere this turn, then you can play it for free.
If you're boarding it in, it's going to happen.
Totally, yeah. So there you go. That's seventh place. And then eighth place is a more different White Red Control by Christopher Johnson. What?
It's not as prisony.
It's not prisony. No, we've got Nahiri. So, yep, there's one Emrakul. Okay, Chandra and a Johnny Vengeance. Okay, that makes sense. Resto Angel, Wall of Omens, and Kiki Jiki.
Kiki Jiki, Resto, boom.
Pretty much. And then there's Blood Moon, Blessed Alliance, Lightning Helix, Lightning Bolt, Path to Exile, Anger of the Gods. Yeah. So wait. What are you doing? Are you, wait, so you Kiki Jiki for Resto Angel. Resto Angel resets Kiki Jiki? Is that what I'm seeing
yeah.
here?
That's then just, you just so attack with the infinite Resto Angels. Well, yeah. Very large finite number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for giggles, because this is an all-in turn anyway, you also draw your deck with Wall of Omens.
Like, I was looking for another trick, and I didn't see the obvious one in front of me. I'm like, wait, what am I missing? Oh, because I'm dumb. I'm looking for things that aren't there. Right, got it.
And to clarify, no, you can't draw your deck with Wall of Omens.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
That was wrong. That. No, that was just wrong. That was entirely wrong.
Now, if you had a Panharmonicon...
Clearly.
Okay, let's close that. So that was your modern, modern classics top eight. There's three Jund in 9-10-11, a Dredge in 12, Bant Eldrazi, Decepticons down in 14th, Blue Black Fairies in 15th. What? Oh yeah, look at that. That is straight up Blue Black Fairies.
Oh, you're right. It's the Fairies deck. Sprite
just directly. Vendillion Click.
With better kill spells.
And better blossom.
Like, it's the fairy stack with better kill spells and better draw, but it's the fairy stack all the way. Yeah. Aw, that makes me sad.
It should. Wait, why is there an Ancestral Vision?
Blue? We go with...
Oh, you're just playing it
yeah,
straight.
Yeah, just blue.
I was say, I don't see a way to play it for free. But you don't need to.
Three cards, still good.
Excuse me, I just choked on drawing three cards.
It happens.
Oh, and then there's Grixis Delver in 16th. Boom, there you go. Excuse me. I could mute, but the way my recording setup is, you guys would hear it anyway, so there's nothing I can do about that. I apologize.
Totally cursed.
So,
oh, wow, I forgot about that.
That's it for tournaments. What's that?
I forgot about the River of Tears mechanic, which was never used again. Because that was from the future, yeah, so from the future site, dual land cycle, they tried a bunch of different mechanics to see what would work. And the blue black one, River of Tears, had the gimmick of, tap it to add blue to your mana pool. If you played a land this turn, add black to your mana pool instead. And so that's kind of like a weird replacement landfall effect. I'm assuming they didn't run with it because it was more to keep track of and because they probably never really intended to do more with it anyway and were just filling out a cycle, but it's still a neat design space for dual lands.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Because that way on your opponent's turn, it's counterspell, and on your turn, it's either blue or black, depending
on... Yeah, like, it's black the turn you play it, but past that, you get flexibility. It's black the turn you play it, but then when you pass to your opponent's turn, now it's blue. It's neat. Yeah.
It's probably not good, but it's neat.
I mean, I always thought it was neat because it's one of those things where it's a dual land that doesn't come in tapped and doesn't really have any other drawback beyond having to think ahead, which is exactly what blue-black wants to do anyway. Like, I couldn't see this happening on, like, a red-green land. That wouldn't really work.
No, not so but much.
It's neat. So cool. Are we done?
Cool. So if they ever do, like, a blue-centric plane, they could totally
You mean all the planes?
Let's hope they don't. No,
you mean Mercadia?
A plane that is... A plane that is flavor-wise blue-centered, then they could have a cycle of dual lands that all do this on your opponent's turn. It's blue on your turn.
It's the other colors.
Played land. It's whatever,
including an island.
And then the blue one, and the blue one could be blue. And if it's your turn, you win or something.
Because blue. Yeah, if it's your turn, you can tap it for blue. If it's their turn, you can tap it for blue and counter something because you're in the fairy plane.
Yeah. So let's see. Let's go to news because, as you know,
this isn't just a tournament podcast.
Yeah, this isn't just a tournament podcast. So first up, real quick, I'm going to do the F&M promos. December, we get Call of the Bloodline. That's now. January, we get the super sick art on Noose Constrictor. Did I say December? Because I meant January.
January.
And then February, we get Fortune's Favor with a really intimidating playing, you know, guess what's in each hand thing going on.
We can tell by the colors. This is like Sphinx Morpheus just offering you a crystal.
Yeah. Should have taken the blue crystal. Mm-hmm.
Would have saved us a few movies.
So Fortune's Favor, in case you're going, what the hell is that? For 3 and a blue, instant, target opponent looks at the top 4 cards of your library and separates them into a face-down pile and a face-up pile. You put one in your hand and the other in your graveyard.
It's like the reddest blue card you've ever seen.
It is, yeah, that's, So there's currently a bunch of people losing their minds about crappy F&M promos, but that's not news, that's people being
buttered. That's the way it generally works.
Yeah. So, there you go. They're not obligated to print expensive or good cards to give you for free.
And when they commission the art, they don't know it's going to be good anyway, so.
Exactly. Which is my follow-up point. I'm sure they read it and were like, you know, people are going to use this. Mm. what else? What is this? Oh, yeah, Ink Moth Nexus is the World Magic Cup qualifier promo. That's pretty cool.
It's neat.
Yeah. Okay, so Aether Revolt. Because, of course, Neverending Preview Season took a week off for Thanksgiving, and then we get previews, and you get them hard. So the first one, at least the first official one, was a Johnny Unyielding. Yes, it's a Johnny.
It's a kitty.
Yes, he is.
Don't get a kitty.
It is a big kitty. Do not pet the kitty. Oh, God, don't pet
the
kitty.
Can you pet him from the blind side?
He won't like that.
No.
He will not appreciate that.
He's one of those angry kitties.
Do you know the kitty asking you to rub its tummy trap?
I would not rub a Johnny's tummy.
Yeah, the kitty lays there on his back and with this, oh, please rub my tummy, and then you rub your tummy, and then they attack you. That is what would happen if you pet any part of a Johnny, I'm pretty sure, without asking first.
And that seems pretty likely. He'd lie to you.
It might even happen when you ask. Like, hey, you mind if I, you know, okay.
Well, it's like you walk up and you're like, oh, hey, look, it's a Johnny. He's going to mentor heroes. And then bam, a Johnny Vengeant.
Yeah.
Cat cycling.
It's rough. It's very rough.
Transmute a
Johnny. Okay, so I have actually never read this card, so I'm going to do it now here live on the air. A Johnny Unyielding for 4, a green, and a white. It's a 6-cost planeswalker. Damn.
Yeah.
He starts with 4 loyalty. All right, here we go. +2. Reveal the top 3 cards of your library. Put all non-land permanent cards revealed this way into your hand and the rest on the bottom in any order. So looking for creatures, planeswalkers, artifacts, enchantments. Did I miss anything?
I think that covers it.
Okay, good. All right, so that's pretty good.
It feels very Garrick.
Did Garrick dig through your deck?
Well, Garrick had the mechanics for like looking at the top cards and putting all the creatures into your hand. This is more flexible, but you're green-white now.
Okay. So, -2, exile target creature, its controller gains life equal to its power. Oh my god, it's Swords to Plowshares.
It is, yes.
He is unyielding.
He's got Swords to Plowshares on his card.
Yeah, and he can do it twice out of the gate.
Wow, that's really fun. Of course, he costs 6, so he's not great, but that's still really
good. I have
good.
Run 6 mana creatures that had that ability, and I didn't care what the creature did.
Yeah.
And it's totally fair. They're gaining life, right?
I meant great compared to the original STP is what I meant. Yeah. Okay, so then -9, limit break. Put 5 +1/+1 counters on each creature you control, and 5 loyalty counters on each other planeswalker you control. Damn!
Yeah, that's going in.
Everybody gets
big. Going land sales deck.
Let's hope so.
I mean, he's running all this doubling season.
Yeah, if he's only got 1 doubling season, he can't play it and then immediately limit break it, so maybe
not.
Yeah,
but he's got more than 1 doubling season. He'll be fine.
I don't think that deck tries to get more than 1 out.
It's the thought that counts.
So that's the first official preview was Johnny Unyielding, and it's pretty good.
That's a big kid.
That is a big, scary kitty.
The kitty can find a deck that can wait till he's out. Oh, who am I kidding? It's green, like turn 4. It'll be fine. Turn 4, path your dude.
Your opponent goes, rot? All right, then. So then we've got the usual package, pictures of packaging and whatnot. Whatever, there's Tezzeret, there's somebody.
Somebody?
Yeah, on the... booster packs.
Oh, right, yeah.
There's the kitty. Look at him, he's a kitty.
He's on the internet and everything.
Oh, yeah, then we've got the new Planeswalker deck, Planeswalkers. Now,
we
remember,
do, yes.
These are not supposed to be good. They are supposed to be there.
They're supposed to be training planeswalkers, not we're going to buy all of these and keep them away from the new people planeswalkers.
They are standard legal. That's not the same as standard yes. playable.
Not at all. Okay, so I haven't looked at these either, but you guys want to take one of these each?
Sure. Which one you want, Squee?
I am indifferent.
Great. Then I'll
should
keep
I take
the Johnny...
one that's blue so you don't have to?
I was going
to
say, I'll keep the Ajani train rolling. It is Ajani, Valiant Protector. For 4, a green and a white, you get a 4 loyalty planeswalker Ajani. +2.
Hey, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, doesn't it, though? He has 3 abilities. +2, put 2 +1/+1 counters on up to 1 target creature. So you can activate it.
That is significantly
even
less
if you
good.
Don't have a creature. Yeah, it's not quite as good. +1, reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal a creature card. Put that card into your hand and the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order.
Oh, that's a plus ability.
Yeah, so 2 pluses. -11. Mm. Yes, I said 11. Put X.
These go to 11.
Put X +1/+1 counters on target creature where X is your life total. That creature gains trample until end of turn.
Whoa.
That's actually really cool. Like, the effect is cool. The planeswalker himself is just, you know, he's what he's supposed to be. He's not great. He's just...
And he's starting at 4, you say?
Starts at 4.
Yeah.
All right. So you...
So that will never happen, but all of his abilities are pluses, so if it's gonna never happen, it's because your opponent killed you or him.
Right.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. All right, then I will pick up on the other guy. So, hey, look, it's Tezzeret. Tezzeret's been gone for a little while. He actually started a metal band. It's pretty neat. He's very metal looking. Tezzeret, Master of Metal. 4 blue black. So 6 mana again. 5 loyalty though, because he's way more loyal than the kitty. Tezzeret, Master of Metal. +1. Reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal an artifact card. Put that card into your hand and rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. You don't even get to pick.
Huh. That's the same as Johnny's +1, except with...
Well, you have to do it here because otherwise you can stack your deck. So. What? Well, if you have no artifacts, you can stack your deck.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, it's the same ability as the guy next to it. Except for artifacts instead of creatures.
Yeah, I was just saying in his That's case, neat. Because like that would actually be playable if it didn't have the random part on it. Because it's like, I pay 6 mana, stack my deck. Some people would do that. -3, target opponent loses life equal to the number of artifacts you control. That is not exciting. And
at least it doesn't say twice the number of artifacts you control.
That would be approaching playable. -8, yeah. Gain control of all artifacts and creatures target opponent controls. Give me that.
Yeah, he read the whole thing. It's not till end of turn. It's just...
Yeah, you just get it.
Those are mine.
Yeah, these are all mine. Thank you so much.
The metalist thief of the multiverse. But yeah, his hand is not looking good.
No?
Yeah, dude, that's...
At first I thought he was holding a stick or something. He still might be, but his hand looks nasty.
Yeah, that's definitely...
Because of the way that his right hand works, yeah.
Yeah, actually, if you scroll back up to the booster pack, you can see a better picture of it, and damn.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was bitten by a radioactive Terminator. That's not good.
Jesus.
So.
So, yeah, those are the Planeswalker deck Planeswalkers. Again, they're not good. They're not great, but they're good enough for their purpose, and that's good, because I'm still waiting on the day when Wizards goes, whoops, and I know there's only the second round of these, but one of these days, Wizards is gonna whoops, and one of these will be standard playable. And it's gonna
I don't think so.
It'll be Jace.
I really hope not, but it'll be a Jace. Yeah, he's right.
So he'll be like Jace Despondent Diplomat, and he's gonna have some badly worded ability on him that lets him just counter your deck. It's gonna be stupid.
It's gonna be stupid. So then, of course, there are the promo cards. The Buy a Box promo is a card called Scrap Trawler, which for 3 mana is a 3/2 artifact creature construct. When it or another artifact you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, this wording is funny, return to your hand target artifact card in your graveyard with lesser converted mana cost. Oh, it's It's Soul Shift, or whatever that was called, in from
Futures
Kamigawa, but for artifacts. Huh. Right? Isn't that how that worked?
I think so. I will look that up because I'm curious.
Oh, I'm already looking it up. Soul Shift 7. When this creature dies, you may return target spirit card with converted mana cost 7 or less. Okay, so all of these creatures had so they were spirits that all had this ability. They had a soul shift of 1 less than their mana cost for the most part. And that means when it died, you went to get something that cost 1 less or even less. And it went back from graveyard to hand. So this is a variation on that for all of your artifacts. Wow.
Yeah.
When this or another artifact you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, return to your hand, target artifact card in your graveyard with lesser converted mana cost. So that means you can't just sacrifice a bunch of, like, clue tokens and get stuff back, because there's nothing with less than 0 mana cost. So that's good.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the annoying junk diver looping that my roommate Animal used to do, where his junk diver would die and then he'd go get another junk diver and repeat, and he just had infinite flying chump blockers. It wasn't the most effective thing in the world, but it was really annoying. Because this one's going for less, you can't actually do that. So
it gets you some serious value, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's all kinds of crap it'll do.
Yeah. So that's neat. Excuse me.
Because it doesn't even say artifact creature. Keep in mind.
Oh, yeah. It's not. All right. Hey, I died. Hey, Clues. What's a Quicksmith Rebel?
Quicksmith Rebel is our, is it the launch weekend promo? Yes. Okay. The launch weekend promo. It is, 3 and a red for a 3/2 creature human artificer. And when a Quicksmith Rebel enters the battlefield, target artifact you control gains the following ability. Tap: this artifact deals 2 damage to target creature or player for as long as you control Quicksmith Rebel. So it gets that ability only as long as Quicksmith Rebel is there. But while it's there, it has that ability. So that's kind of cool.
That's really good. I like
that. I expect it to not be long for this world, because your opponent doesn't like getting, you know, shocked in the face.
Probably not.
So does you think that counts as limited bomb? Is that bomby?
Is that bomby?
If you have an artifact that's worth dropping that on, sure. I mean, this is a use for your vehicles when you don't want to crew them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's also a use for your Thopter token when they have a flying blocker.
Yeah, I mean, like, you'll find something. It'll actually be pretty funny if you can drop it on an artifact creature that has Death Touch or Lifelink. Because the creature or the artifact is doing the damage. So that's pretty awesome. I know why, but it's kind of sad that the Quicksmith Rebel is not a rebel.
Mm.
I mean, I get it. They're not just going to randomly throw rebels around because that means something, but it is sort of sad.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing about Kaladesh is that there are rebels. Like, Renegade Prime is totally a rebel. But because rebel has a significant meaning in Magic, ask your parents.
Yeah.
Actually, you might be your grandparents at this point, but yeah, the rebel mechanic is totally a thing, which is too bad because it means that none of these rebels on Kaladesh get to be named that. But then again, maybe it's not too bad.
Yeah, it's fine. It's just one of those things that you notice. Like, oh yeah, I guess you're only so rebellious.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Bill, what's a trophy mage? Somebody asked, JT asked me about this, and I was like, I don't know.
All right, trophy mage. 2 and a blue, uncommon, 2/2 human wizard. When trophy mage enters the battlefield, you may search your library for an artifact card with converted mana cost 3, comma, reveal it, comma, put it into your hand, then shuffle your library. So it's exactly 3. So it's not a treasure mage, it's not a trinket mage, it's a trophy mage.
I see what they did there.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah.
And this is your game day participation card.
And I don't know about you, but I like swords.
Yeah, I hear that swords cost 3.
Swords are pretty awesome. I'm sure there are way more busted things that you can get, but I think swords immediately because I like jamming swords into EDH decks and then going and getting the appropriately color combination one, and this is good for that. So.
Yeah, neat. And then the game day top 8 card is Yeheni's Expertise. Yeheni?
Yeheni.
Yeah, you do. Yeheni's Expertise. So 2 black sorcery. all creatures get -3/-3 until end of turn. Well, that's good. That's really good. That's Anger of the Gods.
Yeah, this is like Distaste of the Gods.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's Black Anger of the Gods, but then there's more, which makes it
completely it's Damnation of the Gods.
No. You may cast a card with converted mana cost 3 or less from your hand without paying its mana cost.
That's really good.
So you're casting Anger of the Gods, the black version of it, and you're getting something in your hand that's 3 or less for free.
You're breaking symmetry. That's critical.
What? Like, what?
Yeah, that's actually really good. If you're not following it, and I imagine most people are, but just to state it, one of the problems with running board wipes is that your opponent gets to rebuild their board first most of the time. If you've wiped all their stuff and you still get to drop practically anything, then now you're a leg up on them. It's even funnier if you drop something with haste, but regardless, you get to drop something out, their guys are dead, you're ahead, now they have to play catch up rather than reasserting and, you know, building again.
Catch up. By the way, yes, I know that Anger of the Gods only costs 3.
Yeah.
So for 1 extra mana, you're getting a 3 cost or less thing.
Yeah. And the -3/-3 may not kill everything, but if you have anything that, you know, survives it yourself, then you could probably get a fun attack in, provided your thing was sufficiently large anyway. Or you could do all the typical, like, after combat stuff. But this is one of those things that you might not mind doing before combat. Their stuff's gonna probably suck. Who knows? There's a lot of potential there to play with. There's a big difference between -3/-3 and 3 damage. So just pay attention.
Yeah, a 6/5 that took 3 damage is a 6/2. A 6/5 that got -3/-3 is a 3/2. Big difference.
And this will get around, like, you know, annoying regeneration and indestructible and stuff like that for certain things as well.
Yeah.
So that's actually pretty awesome. I expect that card to do something if black gets control options, and it probably will.
Yeah. So there's your promo cards. So there's one other thing in this, what is this called? Card image gallery here, or products gallery, or whatever. That's, because this isn't the card image gallery, because that's a separate thing. But this is on the products pages.
It's the hype sheet.
It's the hype sheet, but eventually it'll have all of the cards here.
Yeah.
And so will the card image gallery. And they're both there for, like, all of these new sets. It's so weird. But whatever. There's one more here that we really want to talk about because, well, because it gives a useless card from back in the day the perfect thing to do.
Yeah.
Sir.
You should read.
All right, so I assume we are talking about this 2-mana artifact. Yeah, okay.
That's the one. Yeah.
So the Heart of Kirin costs 2 generic mana. It is a legendary artifact vehicle. It is a 4/4 with flying and vigilance.
What?
That's right, a 4/4 with flying and vigilance for 2 that you crew for 3. However, you may remove a loyalty counter from a planeswalker you control rather than pay Heart of Kirin's crew cost. Ah, the possibilities. The possibilities.
4/4 flying vigilance. Now, if only there was a 2-mana planeswalker that you could cast the next turn and remove a loyalty counter to immediately fly in.
Yeah, if only there were. And I have to admit, this was not our thought originally. I encountered this in a comment on a thread on Reddit where someone suggested that this was the perfect use for Tybalt, the Fiend-Blooded. And actually, I think it's the only use for Tybalt, the Fiend-Blooded.
I mean,
yeah, the comment says the most useful thing Tybalt can do.
Yeah.
So we are naming the Heart of Kirin. What is it? Tybalt's Sweet Ride.
Tybalt's Sweet New Ride.
That's right.
Never before has Old and Busted actually gotten a chance to drive the new hotness.
Oh, and Heart of Kirin is mythic, in case you hadn't guessed.
Well, yeah, because he doesn't have more than one of those. Also, it's very sad, but...
it's pretty brutal. How... But it only crews for 3, which I guess, okay, that's probably pretty good for a a two cost yeah. thing. No, it's really not. Feels like that needs to be.
You know what's really sad though? Pia and Nalar can't crew it by herself.
Oh, that's terrible.
Isn't it?
Because she's a two.
Isn't that horrible?
Hmm. Well, you know, Kieran had a lot of love. That's why his heart is so big.
You know who can crew it though?
Other than
the veteran motorist. Making it into a five.
What's better?
Well, that's a deck right there.
Yeah, that's totally a deck. I mean, it's already a deck. They're just going to throw this in and be like, huh.
Ew.
So yeah, there you go. That's
like it only.
We usually don't go into preview cards too hard, but these were promos, and the first one was a Johnny, and this one is just insane.
You could drive this with a Delver.
Well, with an Insectile Aberration. Yeah. Unless, you know, Pia and the Delver are
friends.
Hanging out, then...
I don't think she'll ever be friends with a Delver.
I would hope not.
You hope not.
Womp womp. So, hey, yeah, why wait for your Sarah Angel when you could drive one today?
5 mana? That's ridiculous.
Would you pay 5? You would be a fool. Step right up. Drivers wanted.
All it takes is a piece of your planeswalker soul.
Just their loyalty.
But it's worth it.
Oh. I mean, admittedly, I can see Tybalt just like totally driving up in this thing and doing the Mean Girls thing and just calling you a loser. It'd be awesome. Until it goes to the mall.
She's blasting Don't Want No Scrubs.
I mean, Tybalt's been listening to that his entire life. Now he is the one blasting it. Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh my god.
Oh, I want the fan art whenever someone gets around to that. Someone actually, if you decide you want to do random fan art, I want to see Tybalt rolling up in the heart of Kieran and just like smug as all because he's earned it. He's toughed it out for so long.
So there you go. That's that. And I think we're done, right?
Hooray! That's all the news ever.
That's a lot of news.
Well, I mean, we still have to, Magic Online.
There won't be a lot. More than I expected, but it won't be a lot. All right, so Magic Online, as everyone mentioned last week, these things float a week behind usually, so a lot of my Magic Online updates came out last week. They're a week old. If you want to stay in touch, go to the Wizards website, go to Products Magic Online, and see what's going on there. The primary news that came out last week on Wednesday, they announced their updates to the Magic Online events. They tend to do this at the start of each month. Starting December 7th, they're eliminating 5-card boosters and replacing the prizes and the new to Magic Online events with play points, which doesn't matter for most of you because these are just for the one-year new things. You get some play points. You spend 2 to enter the new to Magic Online. And then you have a shot at winning 4 or 5, depending on, you know, where you're at in the tournaments. You can read the details on all of that on the page. I think the overall goal here is to sort of shift people away from doing that stuff because, like, their sealed events weren't firing very often, and they want you to just, you know, be able to run in, learn how to do drafting, and then promptly get addicted to drafting, which is the source of most of Magic Online's money. So that is the way that works. So you can read the differences on that stuff. Continuing down the list for Magic Online news, I think you guys mentioned it before. No, the Vintage Cube is coming back now that they've wrapped up the weird off-color cube stuff. So the Vintage Cube will be back and run from December 14 to January 4. So if you're looking forward to playing, you know, Cube during the holiday season, the Vintage Cube's what's going to be around. There's a brief list of the cards that have come in and are replacing some of the old ones. Not surprisingly, most of them are vehicles and a Gear Hulk or two. Oh, and New Chandra gets to show up, so that's cool. New Emrakul's, and oh, that's weird. Kozilek the Great Distortion is already going away in favor of Emrakul the Promised End. So take that, buddy. You had a good run. You were there for a year. And past that, we got a few Gear Hulks. We got some Spirits. Smuggler's Copter is obviously going to show up. As usual, you can get a link to the full list if you pull up the Magic Online Events update, scroll to the way bottom, and you'll see a link to the full list of Vintage Cube as well as what's come and gone. In terms of other just general Magic Online updates to be aware of, they've just this past weekend, they've started the M-Uncut standard PTQs for Magic Online. So, you know, we're already preparing for the GP that comes after the next set comes out, because that's the way qualifying works. So pay attention to that. As the group mentioned last week, the Year of Modern has transitioned into Ravnica. And as it's transitioned into Ravnica, that means it's time to start screwing things up and having to pull cards out of packs. Because right now they've actually, instead of finding a way to fix them, they've just taken out Common Bond and Mana Bloom from Return to Ravnica packs. Yeah, they just took them out. They are not there. Common Bond is actually relevant too. So that's going to impact that limited format for a few days. Taking out Mana Bloom is doing you a favor, so less so that. But yeah, like due to functionality issues, Common Bond and Mana Bloom will not appear in Return to Ravnica packs during the flashback drafts that have been going on the last week. I don't know what exactly they're doing wrong. I feel like I've read this before, but I don't see the reasoning immediately mentioned here. But something about them is wrong, and so rather than, you know, trying to rush a fix for a one-week flashback format, they just took the cards out of the packs. Those may or may not return in future ones. We'll see. And this is all covered in the bug blog, which I've linked here. The other main bug blog update is that right now, casting two copies of Imrakul, the Promised End, does not give opponents two extra turns. And evidently it should. Because, yeah, what the actual card does is when you cast Imrakul, you gain control of target opponent during that player's next turn. After that turn, that player takes an extra turn. So the whole point is you're getting one of their turns without them straight up losing it. But apparently if you cast an Imrakul and then cast another Imrakul somehow, good job, they don't actually get two extra turns. So you get two turns to their one, which is pretty messed up. But you also just cast Imrakul twice, so why are you still playing? That is a sad story for them to tell their friends later. Other than that, just for entertainment, there's a bug in the collection where renaming a binder while offline causes the binder to become duplicated when logging in. I sincerely doubt this duplicates the cards in it, or they wouldn't tell us. It's probably just a dumb labeling issue. And finally, players are unable to change the save location for draft logs in Windows 10. That's an awkward mistake. So if you're trying to do that, I guess you can't in Windows 10 for right now. I'm sure they'll get to it eventually. You can find a full list of the existing bugs that they're aware of under the ongoing list, and it's gotten pretty long here. I think this Year of Modern flashbacks has done a great job of letting them troubleshoot a lot of mechanics that don't generally see a lot of play lately. Mostly, likely with cards that are older than the current rules set that just haven't, you know, done anything, but you can find the full list here, so you can check that out. And finally, like I said before, like until the coming Wednesday downtime, they are rocking their way through Return to Ravnica. But when Wednesday gets here, we get to move Year of Modern into Triple Gate Crash, which is a very different format than Triple RTR. Triple Gate Crash brings in the other five guilds. So you've got Orzhov with its amazing ability to extort. Those decks tend to drop behind a little bit, but somehow they'll drain their way back into survival. I've had instances where I've been up over someone in that draft format and gotten them down to literally like one health or one life left, and then they managed to bit by bit extort their way up to eventually killing me. Like just gaining life as quickly as I can deal damage and then still managing drain me down until they can actually attack back and kill me. It's real math. It's pretty neat. Gruul is...
Yeah, when every spell you cast can cause a, like, 2, which would be 4 or 6 point life swing, it gets simple to come back.
You start valuing very cheap spells because they do have attacks on them, but it's pretty much always worth paying. When you're playing Orzhov, playing Under Curve is not a bad plan. And you actually have use for the extra lands by the end of it because you still want to extort with even your bigger stuff. And if you can double extort in one turn, you can very much change the pace of the game. You're going to need that life gain, though, because there are some very aggressive decks floating around. Gruul, the red-green pairing, is remarkably good at destroying you because they have Blood Rush. So Blood Rush is an amazing mechanic that allows you to essentially take the creature and turn it into a pump spell. And because it's an ability, it's not counterable through some of the normal means, and more to the point, the cards that they put it on are really, really aggressive. So out of nowhere, you can be like, oh, and this thing has double strike and plus something, and you're dead. It happens. Blood Rush is great. Simic is sort of the weird one out because it's blue-green and it has the evolve mechanic. So essentially, if you play and sequence your cards in the right order, all of your creatures will continue to grow bigger and bigger until it just gets crazy. My memories of Simic were that it was really fun when it was working, and it was absolutely miserable when it wasn't. If you get some experience with it, it's great. It's really fun to watch your deck just completely fire and outpace your opponent, but sequencing is really critical. It's probably the hardest of the five mechanics to play properly in this set because you have to really carefully build your curve, and then you have to play it right. But if you get going, it's probably the hardest deck to beat when it's on.
Yeah.
It's not always on, but when it's on, you're going to lose.
One of those built or drafted properly is it's bad. It's really bad.
And it's amazing to watch. Like, even if you don't go play this, just go search for, like, a draft recording of someone who is rocking Simic, and it's just beautiful to watch happen. Dimir is running what I called Cypher Bad because the Cypher mechanic was pretty awful. I'm not going to say that the black-blue decks can't win. Like, it's certainly possible if you can draw things out and have the right Cypher cards to get a lot done. The Cypher mechanic was weird, though. Let me get the exact wording on it because it's a mouthful.
Yeah, I don't think a blue-black deck is really going to be relying
on
the
Cypher
mechanic for the
most. For the most part, it's going to be relying on the fact that it's got a lot of evasion in it and using blue control spells like Hidden Strings, Hands of Binding, stuff like that to clear the path. Mm-hmm. The thing to understand about Cypher is, so you cast the spell, it does whatever it normally does. Then if it has Cypher, you then exile the spell card encoded on a creature you control. So you pick one of your guys, and then whenever that creature deals combat damage to a player, its controller may cast a copy of the encoded card without paying its mana cost. So in effect, the spell ability gets tacked onto the creature as a, when this creature deals combat damage, do this thing again. And the typical way the Cypher mechanic worked in the blue-black decks is that you would put it on a creature. You cast the spell initially to get a creature through. So that thing gets tapped or whatever. Cool. Then you hit them with it, and then it triggers, and you get to tap something. And the goal is to continue keeping things tapped down with additional spells like this to have your guys just sort of power their way through. A lot of the Cypher cards are bad, or at least they're not very well costed because they didn't, when Wizards, if they've learned anything, is that giving you something for free is always a mistake. So they make you pay a lot up front to get something for free. But there are some Cypher cards that are really good. But for the most part, you're relying on the strength of the blue-black cards themselves, which are going to be hit or miss. Like, you don't have as many options as the one I'm about to talk about. But because people don't generally fight for the blue-black deck, you can probably get whatever's opened if you want it. And then finally, the last guild of note here, and the last one to round out the 10, is Boros.
Boros!
Boros, the absolutely amazing, I'm hitting you in the face right now and next turn, and now there are three of us, I'm hitting you so hard you don't even know, mechanic of Battalion. Battalion was sort of like an attacking metal crafter. If you're attacking with three creatures, all kinds of stuff just suddenly triggers. And some of these things have amazing bonuses when you attack with three. Some of them are, you know, okay. The important thing to note is that Boros is probably the deepest color combination in this set because they gave Boros too high a card quality, in all fairness. It wasn't uncommon for an 8-person draft table to actually have three people making Boros decks and it still be viable. And that's a 2-color combination. A lot of the Boros cards are just really good. Like, you know, if you want your 2-drop to have 3 power, you've got a few options. You can do that. All of the guild mages were reasonable. Boros had a really good guild mage, and it also had another card that was effectively another guild mage, giving it even more options. Like, Boros is full of activated abilities, full of the ability to make tokens, to pump things, to just go all over the place. Super aggressive, like a well-built Boros deck will kill you on turn 3 or 4 in draft. It's insane. 3 might be ambitious, but I've seen it and done it on 4 before. It's just that fast. And when your opponent's trying to set up their Cypher deck or whatever, they're probably just going to lose. You have to draft in this format, acknowledging that if you don't have some kind of answer for Boros, you're just going to get run over. It's super fast. It's super aggressive. And this is one of those things where you just start throwing in speed bumps to buy time. Because if the Boros deck runs out of time, then yeah, you can start playing bigger things. And if you can keep Boros off of three creatures, a lot of them don't do much. So it's a tough one, but I won't say that Boros is the best because it's so overdrafted usually, but if you get a chance to draft Boros at least once, I'd say go for it. It's probably going to be one of the most aggressive decks you'll draft outside of Zendikar. I encourage you to check out the Gatecrash. And likewise, you know, if you've got time between listening to this and the end of the week, check out Ravnica, because what they're going to come back with after that is going to be Dragon's Maze, which is kind of awkward if you don't know what these other cards do. Because Dragon's Maze brings back Ravnica, and then it throws in this, and then it throws in the actual Dragon's Maze cards, which are kind of whatever. But it's a really weird drafting format, because I'll talk about it later. Just if you plan on doing the Year of Modern, get some games in with both Ravnica and Gatecrash, because you're going to be a total mess when you get to Dragon's Maze if you don't. It requires a very high skill level to draft properly when you have all 10 guild combinations in play. So, and that's pretty much it for the Land of Magic Online right now. It's sort of neat to note that the Year of Modern, obviously as we've reached December, will be ending soon. They're going to push their way through Triple Gatecrash from the 7th to the 14th. Then they'll do Dragon's Maze, Gatecrash, Return to Ravnica through the 21st. And then finally it'll be Triple Magic 2014 through the 28th. I don't know what they're going to do when they get to January, if they're just going to continue up to the present or not, but that'll presumably take us through the end of the Year of Modern. So I'll announce what they decide to do next year as a gimmick. I think overall as an experiment, the Year of Modern was a good idea because we kind of got a chance each week to talk about a different draft format, and that's a lot of fun for the ones that have actually played. I don't know if they have the, you know, the ability to do that again, but
it's also a really cool way to keep people interested in Magic Online if you know that, like, every week, every other week, there's going to be something new to do.
You don't have to just wait for pre-releases. And I know that looking around on Twitter, you see people constantly going, you know, and here's what this is. Like, does anyone remember this format? What do I do? And it's a good way to get people running their way through the history of Magic as well. They can't exactly do it through all of Magic ever because not all of the oldest sets are on Magic Online, but covering all of Modern was just a good idea.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Good job.
I'm proud of them.
But that's it for Modo. Go check it out on the website if you want the most current stuff, because I'm sure they're going to announce something this week or tomorrow or whatever. But that's all we got for right now.
That really trips me out about, Common Bond and Mana Bloom. Just, you know what? We can't make this work. So,
well, I don't know what's wrong with them. Like, they're not complicated cards.
Common Bond, I can understand why it would be a problem since it does the same thing twice. Cause Common Bond says what? Put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. Put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. I can see something simple like that causing something.
I mean, I would think so, but that's not an uncommon effect, and Magic Online had it working before. Like, these are recent enough sets that I didn't think they'd have any trouble with it, but I'm sure there's something on the code level that I don't know that may be an issue with some other update.
Yeah. And then Mana Bloom. Mana Bloom, okay, Mana Bloom costs X and a green. It enters, it's an enchantment. It has X charge counters on it. You can remove a charge counter to add one mana of any color to your mana pool, but you can only activate this ability once each turn. And then at the beginning of your upkeep, if it has no charge counters on it, you return it to your hand. And I can see either it won't let you add a counter or add mana of any color, or it won't let you only use it once each turn, or it won't bounce to your hand, or like they seem to have problems with things that give you mana in chunks like this. So I can see this one, but the other one.
Yeah.
Like I can see where the problems would be. It's just a shame that they couldn't fix
it. Well, yeah, you know? I think the only reason that Common Bond is a little confusing to me because we have all of the commands, which were just a more complicated version of the same effect. But regardless, like they decided that, you know, we're not going to be able to fix it till that format's over anyway, so just we'll pull it so that at least whatever it's doing wrong won't confuse people. And I'm not kidding when I say they're doing you a favor by taking out Mana Bloom, because it's a terrible card. It seems kind of neat on the surface, but in practice, you are never getting more mana out of it than you put into it, and you can still only use one a turn, which is awful. Like, I tried playing with it. It's not good. It was also the very disappointing card that was in my pre-release box while everyone around me got Tristani. So I have a bias, but not a good card. Yeah, so I guess we can wander into signouts after this not 59-minute long show. Do we have any other news or anything that I missed?
Nope.
I don't.
Awesome. So yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinOfOb. There's no Iron Goblin because apparently it got stuck in a bog last week, and I'm pretty sure this week it was hanging out, and then, you know, Tybalt just rolled up with a sweet ride and it just swooned, and now I don't know where it went. Tybalt, bring back my eye. But yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter and see my nonsense rambling there. I'm doing you guys a favor and not just posting about Final Fantasy 15 all the time. And
yeah, that's what his Facebook
is. I'm not really doing that either. I've been pretty chill about it. Other people though, so Final Fantasy 15 does have a feature where you can take screenshots and post them immediately. And I've been seeing people use it. Yeah, like one of the mechanics in the game is that, so your team of four boy band guys, essentially, you look like a Japanese boy band, riding around in your car because that's what Final Fantasy is now. And one of the guy's skills is that he takes pictures all the time. And it's largely a for fun feature. It doesn't really do much, but he takes pictures all the time. And if, you know, as he levels up and gets better at it, he starts taking selfies and all kinds of nonsense. But every time you go to sleep, like at an inn or a camp or whatever, you get the option to review the pictures, choose which ones you want to save in your gallery, and you can share them on social media. And so I've been seeing a lot of people posting their screenshots of the game all over social media. And it's one of those things where I'm like, I guess I see how it's neat, but I also see that being really annoying to other people because you don't have the context. It's not your game. And really and truly, it's like, hey, look at this rendered picture of these guys that are in a game you don't know. Doesn't really go anywhere.
It's sort of like how us non-Pokemon people felt
probably
about Pokemon
Go. I'm sure that's a lot of it. But they make it really easy in the game to do that, so I'm seeing a lot of it. That's how you get things viral, I guess. But that said, just I do think that Final Fantasy 15 is fun. I have no idea what the game story is at this point. It's kind of weird to give a weird tangent on that. So before you start playing the game, if you want to know the story, there's a movie and there's a 5-episode anime. And I think there's another like smaller, simpler game or something all set in the same world. But the movie surprised me because it came with my version of the game. So I popped it in and watched it first because it's kind of like a prologue sort of. It takes place during the first like 10 minutes of the game, just in another city. So it's not really a prologue, but whatever. They got real voice actors for this, for the English version. Like, you've got Sean Bean in a role that, yeah, what do you think his odds are? And
to be fair, Sean Bean seems to be popping up in video games a lot lately.
So Sean Bean is portraying a king, and the female love interest for the protagonist of the game is portrayed by the voice actress for her is also the actual actress for Cersei Lannister on Game of Thrones. So you have two prominent Game of Thrones voices coming from two very different characters from their Game of Thrones characters in the same, you know, kind of environment. And it's kind of weird. So I just watched it in Japanese instead. I'm like, no, this is too much. I can wear my anime nerd hat and watch this in Japanese. I was also weirded out that I can play the game in Japanese. They actually, I guess this is becoming more common. I could just pick my language, turn on subtitles and enjoy the game in English or Japanese. Yeah, it's not a feature I'm used to. Normally I have to hack a DS to do that, but it's been fun. I've been enjoying it. The gameplay's pretty good. I will say that it's kind of cool that the dungeons in this setting are like urban exploration. Like, you just go into what's essentially like an old Fallout shelter, or you go wandering through mines that you really shouldn't be in because there's a giant samurai waiting to kill you in the bottom. All kinds of nonsense. But it's fun, and I've been doing that lately and enjoying it. So if you've got a PS4 or an Xbone, then I say check it out. I have no idea how it is in the end, but I've had a lot of fun, and the pictures of food are disgustingly delicious looking, so neat.
Wouldn't that be an X-Bone or a pistol?
I don't have the bias you do, so no.
That's not my bias. That's just who have I heard call them that? Yahtzee. Oh,
yeah, Yahtzee hates everything.
He hates everything, yeah. So it's cool.
That's whatever. But no, I've been having fun with it. I did get a PS4 Pro since I hadn't bought a PlayStation yet. I'm like, why not? Might as well get 4K. And everything is very pretty, which is what I would hope. So awesome. And I will now pass things over to Clues. Already.
All right. Well, I have not been playing Final Fantasy 15.
15, because 15, the final is 15. Superfluous.
It is totally superfluous, and now there are cars. But if you would like to hear more out of me, and I can't imagine why that would be true, but let's say that it is, you can hear me over on the Random Discard podcast, found right here on the MTGcast network, as well as on our own website, randomdiscard.com. If you want to reach me, woo-hoo! You can reach me on the Twitters. I am at Loch Luzé, spelled just like it is in ye oldie show notes. In case anybody does follow me on the Twitters and is wondering, yes, I did manage, I did decide to buy The Witcher 3, and, it's pretty good. I'm not done with it yet because it's a long game, but I started it at least, and it was fun.
Sweet.
And that's all I got. So take it away, Chewy.
Oh god, treasure.
Snake!
Alright then. Well, as I said at the beginning of the, episode, I have started streaming. So if you're at all interested in watching me play games, no clues. I cannot stream magic.
Can you stream science?
I mean, good maybe. Question there, Squeak.
Can you stream sufficiently advanced science?
Video Ooh. Game science.
Follow up question. Do you stream magic on that? Cause I hear people want that.
I really hate you. Like in the face. yeah, but that is twitch.tv/themanapool where I stream roughly the same ideas that, YouTube, which is, Hearthstone, Rocket League, and then all kinds of other stuff. I think streaming would be a good place for stuff like roguelike games. So, like, I'm thinking of doing some Darkest Dungeon, maybe? Maybe some, like, FTL? Some, Quick, what's that other thing that isn't coming to me? Steam. Oh, Steam is open. Whoops. Forced Showdown. Yeah, that's a good one. Maybe some bigger games, like the Batman Arkham games, maybe? Because I'm not sure if I could do those properly on YouTube in episodic, but in large streams that might work. You know, that's
well,
sort of thing.
How about Half-Life 3?
Do you have any ideas?
You will get a lot of subs if you start streaming that. That's all I...
Not true. I will get no subs because that's a thing once you become partnered. It's really hard to get partnered on Twitch. Hmm. But I will get lots of followers.
There you go.
So by all means, please do go follow me and watch and hang out. We'll talk. It'll be fun. And if you have any ideas on, you know, things that proper streamers do, then feel free to send me a message because, like, I don't know. I don't watch streamers.
I have some suggestions that we could do, but I'll talk about that after the show.
Oh, cool. Like, I watch streamers when they export clips to YouTube for the most part. Like, I don't actually watch streams live. So this is a whole new world for me. Like before we started, I was researching what panels are and what I should do with them. Cause I don't know what a panel is. Turns out that's where all your links go. Oh. So I'm gonna make up some nice custom links with Manipool pools on them and that'll be my-
I'm sorry, is it perchance a dazzling place you never knew?
Maybe? I did dare close my eyes though.
So oh, you shouldn't do that.
Listeners, do you ever hate your friends?
I mean, I hate your friends.
Oh,
all the
you
time.
Weren't asking me. Okay, never mind.
Hey, I was a listener last week. Yeah. I hate your friends.
All right. It's good to know. I'll tell them you said
not Mike,
that.
Though. He's dreamy.
But, isn't he? Oh, that means you hate Molly, because I really only have the one friend.
Aw, I don't hate Molly either.
Oh, she'll be sad.
I'm just a liar.
Well, I guess you are. So you're the bad. Worst. So, So that's the streaming thing over on YouTube, which is youtube.com/C/themanapool. Since the last episode of Monday Night Magic, I have uploaded more Shovel Knight, more Double Dragon Neon with my buddy Scott, some Rocket League where myself and listener/viewer, because he was watching Billy stream when we were playing Rocket League, because this was before I was able to stream, Steven joined us because we figured out how to play cross-platform, like on purpose. Because Steven has it on PS4, and we figured out that we could put him in a party and play some custom game. Well, not in a party. We could give him the name and password of a room to play a custom game. So we can't play online with people in PS4, but we can still play with them, which is really cool. So Steven and I took on Billy and Jacob in some 2-on-2 hoops and then Rumble, and it was awesome. It was entirely too much fun. So if that sounds interesting at all, it's on the YouTube channel. I also did my Mean Streets of Gadget Zan pack opening and card review because the new expansion on Hearthstone just came out, and I opened 48 packs, reviewing cards as I went. So that was pretty cool. I streamed that live, and then I edited it up real hard for YouTube. So if you couldn't watch the stream, you can watch a condensed version on YouTube. It's pretty neat. It cuts out all the bits where I'm staring at the chat, waiting on it to catch up and waiting on people to respond. Because that's the part of Twitch streaming that I never liked. So I cut it out for YouTube. Yay! And also, just like 20 minutes ago, a new Rogue Legacy video went public where I found a video game inside this video game. It was really cool. Trust me on this. Everything goes all Tron-like when you go in this mystical boss door. Everything goes all Tron-like and you're controlling a whole other character that's not you. And you're fighting the super hard version of a boss. And then when you die, it's like you just lost your quarter and it spits you back out in front of the boss door. And you're like, whoa. So you can just keep going in the boss door and trying over and over and over again. And it was really cool because it's super hard. And so yeah, that's pretty neat. And that's what's been going on YouTube. Very soon I will start, Golf with Your Friends on YouTube, which I have 4 videos recorded of some really insane mini golf game. It's a mini golf game on Steam. And myself and Billy and Jacob were playing that, and it's pretty funny. So hopefully those will be going up soon. And we'll finish off Double Dragon Neon. There's 1 episode left. Scott and I played until 3 a.m. for episode 4, or 5. Oh no, the thumbnail says 4. I've got to change that. Whoops! But yeah, we played until 3 a.m., and then we gave up and went to bed, and then we woke up the next day, and 12 hours later, we finished it off. So episode 6 will be the last one where we fought the final boss, and then the actual, for real though, final boss. So it was pretty sweet. And that's all. And then I'll start recording new stuff. New Totally Accurate Battle Simulator, new, what's that other game? Cluster Truck? Oh my god. More Shovel Knight, more Rogue Legacy. Oh yeah, oh yeah, we're having a blast. Shovel Knight, for those of you that don't know, by the way, is amazing. You should totally check it out. Oh my god. If you like old school difficult platformers that aren't like unfair rage inducing difficult, oh yeah, it's awesome. And I guess that's everything from YouTube. Yeah. So what else have I been doing? Over on the Manapool, we recorded a live episode with the Commander 2016 decks. That was fun. Go check that out. That was last week's episode. This week we'll probably be doing Aether Revolt previews, most likely. Yeah. And I can't think of anything else, really. So, if you want to follow me on Twitter, that is @themanapool. Send me an email to Chewy, that's C-H-E-W-I-E, @themanapool.com or @mtgcast.com. They all go to the same place. Again, Twitch is twitch.tv/themanapool. YouTube is youtube.com/C/themanapool. If you want to help support what I do with all of this content, because I'm a one-man show, not the podcasting, but all the other stuff, is I do all the work for all of that. It's insane. You can go to patreon.com/, guess what, themanapool, where you can sign up to help me out monetarily just a little bit, because every little bit helps. You can get all of the Manapool episodes and YouTube videos early for just a little bit more than the price of a booster pack every month. At just a little bit more than the price of, I don't know how much booster packs are now, actually. How much are booster packs?
MSRP?
Yeah.
$4.19 or something. It's more than $4. I remember that.
But it's still
yeah, unless you're buying those rip-off ones that rip me off once a year.
Yeah, don't do that, Bill. Dang it, man. So for just a little bit more than the price of 2.5 booster packs a month, you can get the Odds and Ends, which is all of the behind-the-scenes stuff that's recorded before and after Monday Night Magic and the Mana Pool. It's uncensored. It's unfiltered. You get to hear us being more us, if that makes sense. We talk about what we're going to do on the show, how our lives have been going, whatever other things we're into, the movies, video games, deep philosophical questions, occasionally politics. Sorry about that. It was prevalent there for a while.
I would be sad if I went back and listened to that now.
Oh, yeah. It's not up yet either, so the people that do listen to that will be sad soon. So, yeah, that's a thing. And if you're extremely generous, then you can get your name on the end slate for all of my YouTube videos for each month that you support me at that level. I have a spiffy, there we go, new end screen to take advantage of YouTube's new end screen technology. So it's very Spartan. It's not cluttered. It's just the big cartoon Chewy and your names and all of the preview, all of the end screen links. Yeah, it's nice. All right, then. So, yeah, I appreciate all of that muchly. And that leaves me with Twitter. I guess that's everything. So, thank you, as always, to Bill and Clues for joining me on this episode. And if you really wanted to hear Chris Lansdale talk about Standard, blame him. He's on a plane.
So selfish.
I'm tired of these. Wait, no.
Canadians.
Lansdellians on this.
People from that strange half-hour time zone, you know who you are.
Yeah, so this has been Monday Night Magic number 539.
Wait. I thought it was 540.
Wait. I'm sorry, it is 540. I changed it at the top of the episode. I forgot to change it here. Now it'll be 41. There we go. Fixed it. We're all good now. Yeah. So, episode 540 of Monday Night Magic. Thank you all so very much for listening, and go play some magic.